Hello and welcome to another episode of Andrew's Amazing Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, James Santana, and as always, joined by my sidekick, Hunter Van Lero.
Yo.
We are brought to you by Andrew's Amazing Comics down in Saban, New York. Now let's start with some news.
We got some dope stuff coming out of the Super Bowl this weekend. We got some trailers for the Disney Plus Marvel shows.
Yes.
How hype are you?
So, I remember you sending me, I'm like, oh, I must have been drunk or not remember. No, I was outside talking to my father-in-law and my mom and Justin.
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law and Joe were just hanging out.
Yeah.
And no one came to get me when this trailer came out.
Well, it was also only 30 seconds.
Doesn't matter.
And it was all three put together with only one Loki tease.
Doesn't matter.
It's kind of lame.
Doesn't matter.
Cool. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
No one came to get me.
Yeah, no one came. I'm right outside. I was down the block. I was outside. You could see me outside my house.
Yeah, outside the window.
No.
Like, it's me.
Like, no one was like, hey, you gotta come in and get this. So no, I wasn't being a drunk asshole. They just didn't come get me. So yes, I'm super hyped. So we got to see. So what's cool about it is that you got to see some more of WandaVision
WandaVision is probably the best trailer so far.
It's the most extended. So whack. It's also the most extended.
Yeah, because we also get to see every costume she's in is a different era of sitcoms.
Yes.
So like one's like Married with Kids, one is like I Love You Lucy, kind of stuff like that.
Yes.
So it's cool to see like the evolution of that. And then her classic costume looks fantastic.
Dude,
I've been seeing a lot of memes where it's like what women think men want, and it's Elizabeth Olsen. Olsen posing,
yeah.
And then it's what men really want, and it's her in the Scarlet Witch costume, and I was like that's what.
Yep. So. Oh yeah. It posted on our Instagram, our Facebook page, the link, the Dolly Parton challenge, mm-hmm. and it's the Wanda and all her uniforms. So I got on my phone, like, I didn't fucking post this. Who posted it?
It's not me.
It was good, though.
Don't give me access.
No, stop being a baby. But yeah, the trailer was cool. I did like the extended part that we got to see more of the WandaVision stuff, which means we are truly getting it at the end of this year.
It is going to be whack.
Right. Normally, you don't get that type of extension on your programming when you're not close to being done.
Exactly. That's why Loki had 2 seconds.
Right. It's just a teaser.
They probably have just enough for a full trailer that they'll reveal at Comic-Con.
Right. And same thing with Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, we got snippets of that, though. But that's coming out first.
It's probably not.
It's coming out in August. They confirmed it.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes.
It's coming out in August, yeah, which is the next thing on the docket.
Yeah.
It's coming out in August. And then WandaVision's coming out in December, around the same time as Mandalorian.
Oh, not bad. Not bad. I like that. And that was a big complaint we were talking about for Disney Plus.
Where's the content?
Where's content for us?
Yeah,
where's our content?
Yeah, we have 6 to 8 weeks of Falcon Winter Soldier that'll hold us over till about October-ish when they said they're doing one other show and then Mandalorian shortly after.
Yeah.
And then we have 8 episodes of Mandalorian to hold us over until WandaVision.
Yeah.
And then we have 6 episodes until a movie.
Yeah.
Because, like,
maybe.
Because we have August, and then we have 2 movies in, like, we have Venom 2.
Yeah.
Not MCU, but still. And then we also have Eternals.
Right.
And then we have WandaVision.
Right.
So we have Marvel content coming up for the next couple months.
Yeah.
And then we also have Black Widow, and then we have Morbius, and then we have Winter Soldier.
Right. So that's the whole thing. That was a big explain, and me and Aim said it. It's not that there wasn't original content for the Marvel portion of Disney Plus, because there was. And plus, you got to see, again, the biggest thing was the X-Men animated series being on there, people going nuts.
All the animated shows, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what kind of held them over, but the problem is, the same thing with Star Wars content.
I think they should have waited until this summer to launch, because then they would have had Winter Soldier coming out a month after release.
Yeah.
They would have had Mandalorian coming out in the summer,
yeah,
where people are off and people can go do things, but they wanted to launch everything before Christmas.
Right, which is fine.
Which I get.
Which is fine.
But
that's
like, if you waited, we would have had 5 shows to launch, including the Clone Wars new season.
Right.
We had all that stuff.
I think a lot of it was them pushing it before the new year.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Which is fine. Also, because I guess we don't know stuff going on behind the scenes with the Hulu stuff.
Yeah, but if you think about it, I got Disney Plus, and all I watched was Mandalorian, and then like, I watched Tangled and Frozen because Frozen 2 came out.
Yeah.
And then I've been rewatching Star Wars The Clone Wars because they just put it out.
Yeah.
They just put out the new season. It's coming in the end of the month.
Right.
So, but other than that, I don't use Disney Plus. Like I said, unless I want to watch an old movie or an old TV show.
Right.
But there's no original content. I don't really want to watch the High School Musical
show.
Right,
my wife watches that.
I really don't want to watch Diary of a Future President.
Right.
And I really don't want to watch any of the, One Day at Disney, Summer Family, Sunday Fun Day, or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Encore.
Yeah.
Like, I watched the Jeff Goldblum show. That's
Encore.
That's fantastic.
My wife watched Encore.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum's show is really good.
Right. So there's content. Like, yeah,
they basically made one for each section, yes, except for Marvel, because then they had all the animated stuff and they were planning the bigger stuff.
Right. They had for Marvel, the Hero Project was the actual first original. It's still original content.
True.
Not the content that we were expecting from the opening, but it's still original content. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of February, they're adding Runaways,
The last two seasons.
Last two seasons, fully. And they're dropping Future Avengers, which was
which is pretty cool.
Which is only Japanese originally.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, yo, bring Discourse. And that might be a licensing thing.
Yeah.
But yo, bring both those over. Bring them over here.
Yeah.
People will watch it. And not for nothing, it will be considered original content for your platform.
Yeah, at least for the U.S.
Yeah, for the U.S. at least.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what they have planned. And they did jumpstart, but it worked out.
Yeah.
And obviously, it got millions and millions of people to jump on. But then if you noticed, a lot of people were complaining. Like, once Mandalorian was over, a lot of drop came.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people dropped it, and they're not going to bring it back until maybe this month because of the start Clone Wars. Or they won't even bring it back until August. No, when Mandalorian ended, there was a huge drop-off.
Yeah,
they unsubscribed.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Because they did, like, just a month. They were like, I'll just watch all of it in one
month. Well, that's the thing. So what's cool about Disney Plus, and we've talked about this, and what I'm hoping for, if it's based on what we saw with Mandalorian, that the Marvel shows do it, that they'll do it weekly and episodically.
Yeah.
Meaning that once a week, you'll have, like, Harley Quinn for the DC app.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, last Friday, I think.
Right.
Talking about how streaming services should do what Disney Plus and DC Universe are doing, where you do one episode a week because then you dominate that entire week.
Right.
Like I said, Mandalorian destroyed every social media outlet every week.
Yeah.
And it was, the entire week was all posts, all memes, spoilers, everything. With Netflix, they should really jump on this because Stranger Things gets spoiled Sunday.
Yeah.
Sometimes they leave it off and do like Monday they spoil it. They give you the weekend.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch Stranger Things 3 until like 3 months after it aired.
Right. And it kind of...
But if they did it weekly, I would have watched it weekly because it's just 40 minutes a week.
Right. And it's not hard to find an hour or so to watch the television.
Yeah, like Mandalorian. Every Friday night when I got home from work, I'd watch Mandalorian.
Right. I watch it with my wife.
Yeah.
That's what we do on Sundays. You know, so that was always the thing. I think the problem was that they decided... That's what was good about Mandalorian, I think, and I hope that's what they do with the rest of the Disney properties.
Yeah, I think they will be doing Disney, because they're doing
it with original content, not...
Well, they are doing that with Diary of a Future President, weekly, Jeff Goldblum's weekly.
Yeah.
The Clone Wars is going to be weekly.
Yeah.
Because if they drop all of Falcon Winter Soldier in one weekend, that'll be...
I'll be gone.
One thing, it'll be huge, and I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, of
because
course.
Because everything gets spoiled.
Right.
Even we work at a comic book store.
Yeah.
People will come in and be like, did you watch all 8 episodes? And I'll be like, fucking no. I had time to watch maybe the first one.
Right. But that's
like,
the thing.
And that show seems like it has pretty huge ramifications for the rest of the universe, seeing as he's Captain America. We got Baron Zemo
and
U.S. agents showing up.
That's in the teaser. That's the guy in the A is a U.S. agent.
Yeah.
But from the back.
Yeah.
There was a meme going around.
He was walking around the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it said, not America's ass. I was like, yo, facts.
Hey, man. He'll be fine.
Facts. It's not John Walker. But yeah, so that was cool. I am hyped about it. I think, again, this will be rare for speculation for the next couple of months.
Yeah, we're gonna be speculating every cast member that comes into play. All any more leaks and
right. So concept art. We'll talk. Well, before we jump into the one the casting, I'll just run down the synopsis.
Yeah.
The synopsis is dropped actually an hour after the
Super Bowl trailer.
Super Bowl trailer. I didn't see it the next morning. So this is the trailer. So this is for Falcon Winter Soldier. Following the events of Endgame, Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes team up in a global adventure that tests their abilities and patience in Marvel Studios' The Falcon and Winter Soldier. The all-new series is directed by Cary Sogerland, and Michael Spellman is the head writer and debuts this fall on Disney+. WandaVision blends the style of classic sitcoms with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, in which Wanda Maximoff and Vision, two superpower beings living their ideal suburban lives, begin to suspect that everything is not what it seems. The new series is directed by Matt Shakman. Jack Schaefer is the head writer and debuts now we know.
And December. And it takes heavy influences from the Tom King Vision run, at least, from what we've seen.
What we believe, and it's only... And again, I think the problem is, I think everyone, the aesthetic from the Tom King is like going to be like one of the dearest.
Yeah. It's not going to be the exact story because it's mixing two stories into one.
Yeah, it's mixing the WandaVision miniseries. Yeah. The WandaVision miniseries, mm-hmm. both miniseries from back in the 80s, and the Tom King Invasion series.
Because I was speculating, because we see the pacifiers float up.
Right.
Are those, is it supposed to be Vision, Viv and, I forget the kid's name, the boy.
Yeah, so do I. I literally forget him because he's not dead.
He's not really that relevant.
Because he's dead.
Yeah. So, like, I really want it to be Viv and Billy, because those are the two most relevant kids. Like, Speed's cool, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, honestly, he's just Quicksilver.
Right.
And we don't need to see him that much. But there's also a tiny bit of speculation before you go on to Loki that Quicksilver might make an appearance in WandaVision.
Right, yeah.
Which would be super cool, because it would be like, it's in her own head.
Yeah.
It would be super cool to see, like, him knock on the door and be like, hey, I'm here to, like, I'm here with Pi, let's have dinner. And she doesn't, like, question anything, she just has it.
Yeah.
And then slowly, like, during the night, bullet holes start to form on his person.
Right.
Which would be kind of cool to, like, so show the meltdown. And also, Hawkeye being a mailman would be cool.
You just want Hawkeye there.
Oh, Hawkeye's a big part of her Avengers influence, at least.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda.
He brought her in.
Kinda.
He's like, hey.
But he
everyone's out
he's
here
not,
shooting lasers
well, he's
and stuff.
Doing, he's not in that. He's going to be because he's doing...
But you don't know.
No, because he's doing... Well, no, because we know Cumberbatch's on it.
Yeah, I know.
That's
Cumberbatch is going to be in at least one episode.
Yeah, so that's why. Because if they were going to do... They're not going to hide the fact that there's no reason to hide. Like, if
I know, but it's cool to speculate. Like,
Barton,
what other Avengers will pop up? Like, will Cap show up as an old man?
No.
Will Cap show up as an old man in Falcon Winter Soldier?
Right, see
just
that...
get the guy who was the body double.
Yeah, body double. Like I said, it's not going to be... so let me before we go this I'll do this. So Monsters Loki, the villain Loki resumes his role as God of Mischief in the new series that takes place after the events of Avengers Endgame. Kate Heron directs and Michael Walden is head writer, debuts next year 2021.
Unfortunately it's gonna be Loki from Avengers instead of Loki from Ragnarok and Infinity War, where he's kind of not as shitty.
Well it's fine. I want shitty Mercury.
We all love shitty Loki. That's what we fell in love with. The redemption arc was only kind of cool.
I just fucking hate everyone.
I loved Loki in Avengers. I thought he was great. Taking on more than he could chew.
That's the thing. I think the problem is...
I just think we like Hiddleston too much.
I like Hiddleston as an actor.
I think he did a great job.
I think he's a good actor. I'm just tired of Loki. That's all it is. You know what it's...
I get that.
I already have fatigue. Because the problem is he's the one villain that they're constantly facing. And I'm like...
Yeah, he was.
You
in...
can't beat him. You can beat Ultron. You can beat friggin' Thanos.
Yeah, they kill Thanos.
But you can't beat friggin' Loki. If you can't beat.
Well, the point of Loki is he's always around. That's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
But I get your point. Like, he was in Thor, Avengers, Dark World, Ragnarok, Infinity War, and, like, Endgame.
Yeah.
He was in 6 movies out of the 23.
Yeah.
And he's the only villain that really hasn't died.
Yeah. I'm not saying kill him off. I'm not saying that at all.
But I'd like to see Lady Loki. That'd be cool.
We might get that in the series, though.
Ooh,
they said that that's probably going to happen in the series.
Who would they get for that?
They casted someone recently, and that's the rumor that she's going to be Lady Loki. But yeah, so that's the thing. I'm just fatigued of seeing Tom Hiddleston's face.
It's a good face, though.
It's not saying it's not. I'm just fatigued. You know, I had the same thing. Like, you can't... And I know I can get, like, people be, oh, well, what about Chris Evans, Captain America? I'm not going to get 50 because he's the lead. He's the lead
he's
character.
Captain
he's Captain America. He's the lead character.
I'm not getting
character.
Tired of Chris Hemsworth Thor, and he's going to be in more movies than Chris Evans.
Right. I'm not getting tired of the lead character. I'm just getting tired of Loki. The problem is he's gaining weight constantly, and I'm like, you guys built up to, like, Thanos, and you beat him, and you can't.
How could you drop the Tesseract,
right.
And then Loki picks it up? What the fuck is
that
shit?
Yeah, it's like, it's the small little stupid things that get to me after looking at it overarching after 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so back to that speculation run. I was going to say Loki, but I forgot what we were talking about.
Speaking of casting.
Oh, yeah, you can do that, and then...
we'll go into the casting.
I'll go back to my speculation in a second.
Yeah,
I really
Loki just cast Owen Wilson in an unknown role.
Yes.
Owen Wilson is known to be, Owen Wilson. He's Ka-Chow from Cars. He's Lightning McQueen. He's been in a bunch of Vince Vaughn movies.
Yeah, of course.
And he was in Night at the Museum.
Yes.
Everyone loves Owen Wilson. Even though he's, like, just a mediocre actor, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love him.
Right. Because
he's just so, like, I love his voice. It's
right.
So, people are speculating that he's either going to one of three characters.
Okay.
Or potentially someone you brought up earlier, which makes sense. He could either be the two-gun kid,
okay,
who's an old-style Western character that Marvel made up, and it makes sense. Time travel caper,
yes.
We get it.
Loki is a time travel movie. It's going to be...
Yeah.
So it is okay if they do that.
Yeah, so getting a Western guy to, like, come with him and, like, go to the future and see him react to that would be cool.
Okay.
Especially because Owen Wilson could go, wow, because you know he will. Rick Jones, but they'd be recasting him from the Avengers, from the Hulk movie.
For which Hulk movie?
The one that is technically canon. the Ed Norton one. Rick Jones is in it. I forget who it was.
Yeah.
But they'd be recasting, which is totally fine because they did it with Mark Ruffalo and Ed Norton.
Yeah, that's fine.
But him being Rick Jones would be kind of cool because Rick Jones bounces around from hero to hero. They could easily make Owen Wilson A-bomb and then just use his voice if they don't want to use his face anymore, kind of like Ruffalo. So it would be cool to, like,
but
get him to be Rick Jones because he's just a good everyman.
I'm going
to... Plus, it would give us more stuff to do if they do a Hulk movie because they're getting
right. So I'm going
to...
There's two things. One, they just broke the news that Mandalorian is going to be October.
Cool.
Season 2.
I think we said that.
Did we? Yes.
We confirmed.
Yes. It's just confirmed. They just posted it now.
Cool.
And the reason why I'm going to go to the Rick Jones thing, not because, I'm looking in the back of your, I don't mean to interrupt, I see the back of your laptop, I see the comics for everyone, I want that sticker somewhere, I want that sticker now. It's the motto of a podcast. But I think the reason why I wouldn't want him as Rick Jones is that, one, I think he's too old to play Rick Jones.
Totally fine.
Not because of anything bad, like, I think he's just too old as an actor to play Rick Jones.
Rick Jones could be potentially, like, their next... Not to say Spider-Man, but like they're Tom Holland, where he's like a young actor who can be in a bunch of different movies.
Right. And you could also make it where, if you do a Hulk movie, Rick Jones is the one to bring...
Little protege.
Well, he's like young, not Tom Holland young, but like that in between Tom Holland and Tony Stark age.
Yeah, he'd be like 30-ish.
Right, and going, hey, you know, you saved me those years ago, and now I'm doing this with my life, and I'm trying to repay you type of story.
And then they can still do the Abomination.
Right.
A-bomb.
Yeah, or you can still do that part. You can still, there's other stuff you can play with Rick Jones.
And then you can hide your cap and kills him.
There's other stories you can play around with Rick Jones. Mm-hmm. And the other reason why I wouldn't want Owen Wilson as with Rick Jones is that Rick Jones has nothing to do with Loki.
I know, but it would just be cool to see. People are just speculating that Rick Jones would be cool to see because he bounces around.
But that's the
problem.
It'd
be cool to have Rick Jones be like a good.
But that's the problem. There is no.
Because he'd be our audience.
But that's dumb. That's a bad.
I prefer the two gun kid.
Right. Like I
like because, if you had my choice, I'd put him as a Western cowboy gunslinger.
Well, because like I don't mind it where if he's gonna be an episode and like he goes like Loki goes to pass.
He's gonna be main cast. It says
if he's main cast, he might be.
Get to that thing you said before with the TVA.
Yeah.
But before that, we're going to jump into the next speculation for him. Kang the Conqueror, because they think Kang's going to be the villain.
Yeah.
And why cast Owen Wilson, a bigger actor, to be in this? Yeah. Oh, make him the villain. But I don't think he'd work too well. I love Kang. Kang needs to be menacing, though.
Yeah.
Kang can't be a meme like they made the... Like, don't get me wrong. The Grandmaster, I love Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
But he essentially made the Grandmaster a joke.
He did.
In most iterations, Grandmaster... Like, I know there's a couple ones where he's weird. But in most iterations, Grandmaster's kind of like a serious badass.
Right. Because he's an elder of the universe.
Yeah, like with no surrender.
Right.
So, like, having Jeff Goldblum make him a joke would be basically Owen Wilson making Kang a joke.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
You don't want Kang to be kind of like... Wow, look at me. I'm an Egyptian. You don't need that.
I don't...
You want Owen Wilson to be like some weird character, and you want Kang to be a menacing figure who could potentially kill Loki or take him out of the time stream whenever
he wants. Exactly. Kang needs to be a threat that if Marvel does plan on using some of this stuff into their movies, like they quote-unquote said they were going to, and that's why I kind of am leery with
that. They said
that
about Moon Knight,
Miss Marvel. Yeah. But I mean, potentially the same thing with this.
Well, we know WandaVision because of...
Ties right into Multiverse Menace.
Yeah.
For now, that's in kind of limbo.
We'll see.
But it's kind of in limbo because of what happened. But that's why I kind of take it with a grain of salt with him saying that. Because, you could have great plans and going, hey, we want to use this concept. But then, like, Wilson says a jokey, fun Kang. Why?
The only reason I don't want him to be Kang, besides him not being serious, is because... I would love to see Owen Wilson as a supporting character.
Right.
And have the villain be... Because, like, with Kang, you can have... If Loki travels back in time to the past, you can have Kang as the Egyptian king.
Yeah.
Then you can do the future where he's, like, the Centurion, or when he's baby Kang, or when he's Iron Lad.
Yeah.
So, which would be really cool to see the same actor, except for maybe Iron Lad, maybe a kid, have the same actor appear as different versions of Kang throughout time.
He could be Skull Centurion, he could be Pharaoh Rama Tut, he could be Kang himself.
Yeah.
He could just be Nathaniel Richards.
Yeah.
Outside of the Kang armor, and then he could just a younger actor play Iron Lad.
Yeah, which would be super cool to see more iterations of Kang, because you can do one Kang in each episode, basically.
Right, and that's fine.
An overarching Kang hanging, you know, like a Kang council.
The thing is like this, you have Kang himself,
The purple
who,
guy.
When he was younger, became Iron Lad.
Yeah.
And then he realizes that it doesn't work, so he goes back to the past, he goes back to his own time, becomes,
purple.
No. He goes back to the past, becomes Rama Tut.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he fights Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he traps the Living Tribunal.
Yeah.
Living Tribunal. Living Monolith. Then he goes back to the future, a farther future than his, and dons the armor of Scarlet Centurion, mm-hmm. which he passes on to his son. And then
was the Iron, like the Iron Lad?
No. It's the Red Armor, not the Iron Lad armor. But
the Silver Centurion armor is like a riff off of Iron Lad, because Iron Lad's a riff off of the original Silver Centurion armor.
Kind of ish.
Yeah. No. Same color scheme, same kind of outfit.
Well, no, it's all red. It's just all red. And then he goes back and becomes Kang, and then later down in his timeline, he's also Immortus.
Yeah.
The head of the Church of the Immortals.
Yeah. So it could be cool to see, like, a council of Kangs with the purple-faced Kang being the main villain.
Right.
And, like, the other ones being, like, other stepping stones that they can interact with.
Yeah, so you have two stories.
And it could also tie into the Adam Warlock Magnus stuff that they tried to throw in with Infinity Countdown.
I let them just do that in Guardians.
Yeah, I know, but it would be another stepping stone.
It's too much. I would only focus on Kang and the time, because it clearly looks like this is time travel stuff. And
yeah, well, we know from the trailer, Loki's got the TVA logo on, which is the Time Variance Alliance?
Yes, Time Variance Alliance, which goes to my theory of who Owen Wilson is, and I think it's going to be Justice Peace.
That would be really cool. Because again, he's still a supporting character.
Right.
He'd be a little more badass.
Right.
And he could still be kind of jokey, because he's like, oh, hey, you know, I'm a cop. Yeah. You know?
So, the characters, they were called Justices. For the Time Variance, which I thought were FF guys. I know them from the FF more than I know them from Thor, right? But they're from Thor. They police time. There's time.
It's kind of like Booster Gold.
No, because
Rip Hunter.
Yes, they're like Rip Hunter. Booster Gold's the Loki of this, right?
Well, Booster Gold became better recently. He's more of a time cop now, but before he wasn't.
You're right.
They're more like Rip Hunter.
Yes. So they patrol the time stream, like the Time Masters.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what it would make sense that they're going after Loki, and then you can have Kang as background, and you have those three working, like, and you have Wilson being Justice Peace working with Loki, going back through time, cleaning up, going after Loki, and that's who he's chasing through time.
Yeah, he's either teamed up with Kang or he teams up with Loki to fight Kang.
Right.
Loki, they could easily spin into a good guy.
Yeah.
Maybe the first two episodes he'll be like a kind of a douche, and he'll get captured.
Right.
Then in episodes 3 through 5 or 3 through 6, whatever they do.
Yeah.
He's like. Or this turning himself around slowly. Or may he still has that heart.
Be an overarching. This may not be just a one season thing and then a movie. This could be multiple season series.
From what they've said, everything is 6 episodes, but we know WandaVision is going to conclude and then go into Multiverse of Madness.
That's the only thing. Falcon Winter Soldier
is the only one that. Falcon Winter Soldier is one of the ones that could be both.
Right.
Because they can make another Captain America movie with Sam Wilson.
Right.
Or Bucky. And they could also do Loki. And do, like, multiple seasons of that, because he can do a bunch of time stuff.
Right, because they'd be, like, whatever laid out.
I think the smartest thing for them to do would be make Loki, more than one season.
Yeah.
Make Winter Soldier do the season movie, and then WandaVision, maybe 2 seasons at max, if they want to continue.
I'd just do the one and go right into one.
They could do WandaVision, and then just do Vision as, like, a sequel.
Well, depends on how this ends.
Exactly.
Like, we don't know how.
Just speculating.
But way it looks more likely that it's all in her head, and it looks more and more that this is going to be more in her head, and that she's.
Yeah.
Like, the theory.
Hopefully, the theory we came up with.
Yeah, that she's under Sword's guidance, and that's why. Mm-hmm.
And, like, Jimmy, because we know Jimmy Woo's in it, we know Spectrum's in it.
Yep.
So it'd be cool, like, if my theory is actually pretty close to being true. Because it makes sense.
It seems like it.
We definitely knew it was in her head.
Yeah. Because
one Vision's alive.
Right, yeah. You know, and then going forward, that's how, and then ending with the Multiverse of Madness. And
getting
stuff.
Doctor Strange and Spectrum to help her get out or something. Makes sense.
It looks more like it's going to be a one-season thing.
And with the potential Teddy rumors.
Yeah, I think it's more of a one-season thing leading into Multiverse of Madness, just as a springboard, because it's a way to do a Doctor Strange 2 without, you know, doing the filler stuff in between.
Yeah.
Having to explain a lot. You know, with the Soldier, on the other hand, I think that could either be a multiple, like, a spy thriller multiple season without going through movies.
I could see, like, 2 or 3 seasons of it, yeah. And like, they fight the Masters of Evil, and then he forms the Thunderbolts right at the end or something. Like, he takes over from Zemo's Thunderbolts.
Right. Well, no, it would probably just be straight up, like, you see Zemo forming the Thunderbolt at the end.
Well, that's what we're going to see for the end of season 1. Hopefully. They don't kill Zemo, yeah.
Hopefully. Or maybe not.
Yeah, or maybe not. Yeah, but Thunderbolts would be a cool season 2 villain, and then Winter Soldier could take over at the end and do a Thunderbolts movie. And then have Falcon do the cap.
The thing with the Thunderbolts is, and that's kind of where I didn't like the last the Winter Soldier run.
Yeah, where
they
were in Alaska and they were good guys.
Right, they're not supposed to be good guys. Yeah. They're supposed to be bad guys that won in the beginning were pretending to be good guys while the Avengers were away with the Onslaught saga. Yeah. And then when you found out they were bad guys, that they were still bad guys pretending to be good guys just so they can do shit. And then they were just a bad guy team that never changed
their uniforms. And then Red Hulk took over and made it really weird, but also kind of cool.
Well, that team was they took the name Thunderbolt and made an initiative.
Yeah, because Thunderbolt
Because lost. The Thunderbolt Initiative was a thing already.
Yeah.
The Thunderbolt Initiative...
and they did it with Dark Avengers.
Was during Dark Reign. Yeah, it was during Dark Reign. So the Thunderbolts were supposed to be with Luke Cage's team.
Yeah.
That they were villain. They were like the Suicide Squad of it.
Yeah.
And then it was, after that, they became, the Thunderbolts initiative was still around, and then the Thunderbolt Ross era came.
Yeah.
They used that, and then afterwards was the Winter Soldier one, which I'm like, none of it makes sense.
I would love to do the Masters of Evil / Thunderbolts.
That's the good stuff. That's my favorite stuff. I think Luke Cage one.
Yeah, because then also, if Taskmaster survives, they could throw him in there.
Right. Taskmaster
in the trailer for the Super Bowl one, he grabs the shield and flexes it like Captain America does, sure. So we know that he's got the Hawkeye bow.
Yeah,
he's got a couple flips.
Yeah.
That he does that mimic Black Widow. So I'd be really down to see Taskmaster hopefully survive, or a successor to Taskmaster.
Exactly.
Like Tony Masters, we know is not the main one; it's the one from the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, it's still Tony Masters.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
Not the same. It's a different background.
But they could take the original Tony, the new Tony Masters background, where he's like either a gym teacher or like just like a thug.
Right.
And team up with, like, Black Ant or something. It would be cool to see more.
Yeah. You just want all your books and the movies.
All my books?
I'm talking about all the new stuff.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Give me more stuff.
Get the old stuff right first.
What if Owen Wilson's Black Ant?
That'd be weird. Again,
I know, it'd be super weird.
I wouldn't... I think the problem is
they have to introduce Erica Grady through Ant-Man somehow.
Right. I think
Nando's pitch is really good, so hopefully he does.
I think the biggest thing, that's never gonna happen.
Yeah, you never know.
They're not gonna take a picture from the internet.
Truth.
If that's the case, take our pictures. But that's what it is. I think the biggest problem, though, with the MCU stuff is that a lot of new readers want to see newer stuff, but they need to get the older stuff right first. So it's gotta be, the problem with a lot of speculation, not the problem with the problem with a lot of speculation is that they want shotgun shit, like, oh, and this could happen, like, I think everyone's reading into it too much. People just need to slim down their thought process and go, it's actually simpler if you just do this.
Yeah, but no one wants to do that. Yeah. What's the fun in that?
I didn't say it was fun. I'm just more logical. And because of that, I shit on people's fun.
You're also just old.
Yeah, it's not that old.
You want your old stuff.
No,
I want my new stuff.
Honestly, like I said, the biggest thing, no, it's not that, because I like new stuff. It's that get the stuff right first. You can't be like, oh, we're going to introduce Thunderbolt and then make them the Winter Soldier team. Like, there's a whole era of time you're just... choosing to ignore.
Well, they wouldn't make it the Winter Soldier team. It's the same team.
No, but what I'm saying, like, I'm just using an example. Like, you still need all that stuff. There's a big reason why certain things happen with those characters. You know, and plus building your building blocks have to be in place somewhere.
At some point, yeah, sure.
You can't just be like, and here's five big name villains on this team.
Well, they would build them up in Winter Soldier Falcon.
Yeah, but they're probably not, though.
No, they're definitely not.
That's why. Like, it's too big. It's too big.
It's like five guys.
Yeah.
And one of them's the fixer.
But what I'm saying is it's too big in the sense of... Because they're all... The thing about the Thunderbolts is that they're all different villains from different people. Moonstone was Captain Marvel villain. Ghost was a Tony Stark. Well,
yeah.
Fucking... The problem with Ghost, I have...
Ant-Man villain.
I have a whole problem with Ghost in this version. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you start seeing
Mysterio
it from...
Mysterio was a Tony Stark villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So
well, no, really was Spider-Man villain.
I know, but
he's a Spider-Man villain. He just added they just tied his origin to Tony Stark.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's an easier motif to sell that he's
angry tech man.
Yeah, tech guy. Stuff. I did stage magic.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, visual effects.
Right, yeah. Like, you're a VFX guy. But I wouldn't be surprised, like, if you don't see the girl from the girl who played Ghost in Ant-Man and Wasp in Winter Soldier.
I wouldn't be surprised if you do, though.
I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see her. Like, her, I could imagine being there.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I would see, like them
Atlas,
dropping.
Atlas, I think the Masters of Evil would be cool to see in Ant-Man 3.
Right.
A lot of people are thinking that's what it's going to be, where he fights, like, Atlas, and he fights, like, Moonstone, and then those are the two, and the Fixer, those are the three that he fights.
Right.
And it's just called the Masters of Evil, and then Baron Zemo is tied into it, or he appears at the end or
something. I just hate the concept where they're taking other characters, and, because probably, like I said, we've talked about this outside of
here. Who's really an Ant-Man villain, though?
Right. Like, you blew your wad already with the Yellow Jacket.
Like, we got Yellow Jacket in the first one, it's like, okay.
You can also use
Machine
Swarm.
Smith?
You can use Swarm.
Yeah, Swarm could be new, but he's a Spider-Man villain?
Yeah.
Or a Tony Stark villain?
Technically, he's an overarching Avengers villain, but what you could do
but
is...
But they just put Swarm in the new book, which we'll talk about soon.
Yeah, so you do that, or because...
Swarm would be cool because
Sticking... Well, also, Swarm is in two books this week.
Yeah.
Ant-Man number one, and then a female version in Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that and just make it where...
Yeah, they could really Swarm shows up.
Because Swarm in, do, in the comics...
Yeah, they could do Grizz. They could do
right.
Machine Smith.
They could are do that arc where yeah, they, you
bring,
can do
they bring Darren Cross back to life.
Right.
But he's could, pink this time.
Right, you could actually just do... You can still do it like that and still yeah. make it a fun comedy, especially using characters like Grizz and using
they
Swarm.
They do the henchman right. villain that they brought up. Hench, with the Hench app.
Yeah.
Where he's just like a tech mogul guy.
Right, and you can still yeah. do things like that and make it fun.
Yeah. Ant-Man should always be fun.
Yeah.
Even though Paul Rudd is still pushing 50 plus, he still looks super young.
We went through this with J-Lo and Shakira this weekend at Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, on to some DC news. Actually, you know what? Let's do the Marvel news. Let's finish up some more Marvel news.
Eternals hardcover. They're going to rush it to sales before the movie.
Duh.
That makes sense.
Next.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we knew it was coming.
Right.
We knew they were going to rush the hardcover version of the old stuff
yes.
or the newest run or whatever. So people know who the fuck these characters are.
Because this is
I only know Dane Whitman.
And he's not an Eternal.
Exactly. He's like, Black Knight. Yeah. And I only know Kumail's character because I looked him up because I like Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, and he's not even the same character.
And he's not. He's supposed to be... He's playing like an Asian samurai, except he's Kumail, and that's definitely not what he is.
That's not at all. He's still considered yeah. Asian because he's from the Asian Peninsula, yeah. but...
It's still very weird.
It's very different.
So, that's no one... I saw a post the other day from someone. I forget who it was. And Rosenberg just commented on it.
Yeah.
He said, I have no idea who the fuck these people are.
Yeah.
I look at this poster and I recognize literally no one. I recognize
you're
all
the actors, yes.
Yeah. But I literally recognize no characters. And I was like, yeah, but didn't they do that with the Guardians? No one recognized the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did because...
You did because you're a comic fan. I'm saying general audience.
Well, right,
general
right,
audience,
yes.
General audience knows who Captain America is.
Right.
General audience doesn't know who Peter Quill is.
Right.
General audience will know who Hulk is, but they won't know who Shido is or... Theon or Angelina
yeah.
Jolie's character or whatever
yeah.
the fucking character's names
Icarus
are.
Icarus and all that. Yeah.
yeah. No
you
one
don't
knows
know
these
them.
People. Dude, I've been reading comics for years. I don't even know. I barely know these people.
Right.
I and know that they're like, besides them being Eternals, I know that they're like the building stones for the Infinities.
Nope.
Right?
Nope. What
do they do?
Nope. Celestials.
Celestials.
Came, yeah, Celestials.
Yeah,
came, no, Celestials came to Earth, experimented, they took a monkey. And they experimented on it and split.
We'll get to the Eternals recap when we get to the Eternals
yeah.
movie. But yeah, I knew they were tied to
yes,
the
Celestials.
It was. I knew it was something.
Yes.
Infinity-wise.
Like, Infinity-wise, Celestial, something,
yeah.
I don't know.
Something space.
Something space. Something
Jack
Kirby. Something
space and maybe mutants, question mark.
Something Jack Kirby. That's why everyone goes,
and then
mutants.
Also Black Knight?
Like, shut up. Yeah. Everyone's like, mutants? They were interested in Eternals. I'm like, why would
I could
that...
see it, but I wouldn't want it.
I wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
Like,
I want it in, like...
In their own movie. You don't have to
well,
introduce
yeah.
them. You can literally be like, that's just, they're there.
Yeah.
There wasn't. It's not hard. Like, do it, and I've said this many times, just do like they did in X-Men number one and Ultimate X-Men number one. They were always just there.
Yeah, or just do First Class again.
Yeah, and
but
just
do it with the actual First Class and
yeah.
not make Havoc older than Cyclops for some
yeah,
reason.
Yeah,
and then kill him
do
off.
It with the original First Class and say that there were
yeah.
that they were too young at the time of Thanos'
yeah, and
battle.
They were just training.
And they were training. Oh, they got snapped. Now because Snap exists, they got snapped away.
Yeah.
And
or maybe they were fighting the good fight over the last 5 years.
Yeah, and they just did it in secret.
Yeah, and they did it in secret just fighting like off random-ass bad guys who were trying to do stuff around. Let's maybe not put them in New York. Just
no, it
because
has it has to be in New York.
They can put them in anywhere else.
Nope.
Put them in like Chicago.
No.
Why do they have to be in New York?
Because Westchester, they live in Westchester.
Move it. Don't make them live in Westchester.
That's dumb.
Who gives a shit?
That's like taking Peter Parker out of Forest Hills.
I don't think he lives. He lives in Queens now, right?
That's Forest Hills.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's Forest Hills. He lives in Forest Hills, Queens.
I don't know. Like, having them in New York just makes it too easy.
That's how they all work.
I know, everyone's in
New York.
They're all
there.
Like a mile away
you
from
yeah, you don't take them out. Yeah, you don't take them out of there.
Personally, I would. But
no, you just leave them in the
ocean. Well, they're on an island now in the middle of the fucking ocean, so
now
you
they
can
are.
Shut your mouth.
They're on Krakoa now. But no, what you do is, again, so say they were 18
mm-hmm.
when the Thanos attack
now
happened.
Now they're 23.
Right. So when the Thanos attack happened...
Plus, it's good to have younger actors show up because then they can franchise them.
Yeah, for a while. So yeah, make them when they were younger. They were too... Xavier was like, I'm not having my kids fight.
But they still trained in secret and did a couple like.
But they were doing anyway
yeah.
when they first appeared. That's the whole point
yeah.
of X-Men
they were
number
doing,
one.
Like, small crimes like
right.
stopping robbers.
It's literally
and shit.
The entire
X-Men.
Yeah, the entire X-Men number one is them going. Well, it's time for your first public appearance because Magneto comes out.
The only
of
thing
hiding.
I hope that they do differently from the First Class like version of X-Men is they get make Beast fully Beast. I don't want to see like a human with big muscles crawling
human.
On feet.
Yeah.
I want to see him Beast immediately, and I don't want to see Snowball Iceman. I want to see Iceman.
Depends.
That one's probably the easiest one. That's the easy one. That's the one to play with. Make him snow. Yeah, that probably. But like Beast, I would like to see him like as full on blue because we already got Nicholas Holt being human Beast for two, three movies.
But you know that doesn't matter anymore.
I know, but I would like to see maybe like the flashback.
I would like to not see another Venom movie, but we've gotten
fucking I would like to see another Venom movie.
I've got two Venom versions already in the last five years. So.
But I would like to see a maybe during the flashbacks when they're 18, maybe Hank is like full-on human, but then in the time skip,
because of what happened, movie,
he's blue.
Yeah, because you can still do it where they just come out of hiding because and Magneto... And
Angel maybe has the metal wings because they're like...
You can't have it, no. Why not? Because that's the Apocalypse story.
I know, but who cares? Just do it.
No. That's the whole problem I have with the MCU. Don't ignore stuff that happened.
Well, they already did Apocalypse. And it was bad.
Doesn't matter. You don't have to do Apocalypse. What I'm saying is don't skip over stuff because...
Well, it's a five-year time jump anyway.
Right, so but I wouldn't do... Because you wouldn't have the first class. They wouldn't be at first class at that point.
Yeah, they'd be X-Factor.
They'd be X-Factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd still be not bad. After 5 years, like, Cable would,
they would have baby Cable at that point.
That's not a bad thing. No, I wouldn't then it could somehow put Deadpool in there.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Deadpool go, I know him.
I would do...
And they're still trying to figure out how to put Deadpool in the universe.
Just do your stupid first class. You have it. Just do that.
Yeah.
Just do it.
But they won't. They'll put Wolverine in it. He'll be the leader.
I'd literally get up and scream. You know I'd scream. I'd be like, this, like
when they the start one... casting the X-Men, you see Wolverine. He's the lead. You'd be like, no!
Because the problem is, like, that's the thing. Like, the MCU, what's so good about the MCU, and we talked about this about our, during our adaptation episode, is that they use the blueprints out there and they just modernize it.
Yeah.
Just do that. Yeah, they don't have to do anything X-Men extra. The X-Men
didn't do that.
Right. The Fox stuff didn't do that.
I do have hope that the X-Men will put Wolverine in the movie, but at the end.
Yeah,
or maybe in the time skip, and he's just like a background character,
or not at all. How about just not at all? You don't need.
Everyone likes Wolverine.
That's not a problem. It won't. It doesn't matter, because all you're gonna do is get fans like, "Oh, he's not Hugh Jackman." Oh, I hear rumors that go with Hugh Jackman back. No, nothing like
it. Taron Egerton.
Or how about not at all? How about just do what you've been doing with every other product?
So you're gonna tell me Wolverine's not gonna be in an X-Men movie?
I didn't say now. He doesn't have to be in the first one. I'm sorry, Wolverine fans. One, he's not. One of the original X-Men, sorry to burst your fucking bubble, he didn't come out until 1970-something.
He can be in the end of it, is what I said.
No, I liked your pitch better when they do a Hulk movie.
Oh, yeah, and put him in it? Fuck yeah.
Yes, do that. Do that. Yeah. Make him a badass on his own, and that he's not just an X-Men character.
Yeah, if he is like the partial villain in the Hulk movie, put at the end that Professor X walks up to him and goes... You're a mutant, right? And he goes, totally bug.
Really how it worked in the book is that he went back to Department H and Xavier was there waiting and he was like, hey, I need you to join this squad and help me get my students off this fucking island I put them
to. That's how they could tease it, because they could have the X-Men movie end with a good note, but then have it branch into, oh shit, something's happening, Professor X... he can be the new Nick Fury. At the end of each movie, he dips in and picks up a new mutant that shows up. He picks up a new mutant, so it's like Colossus, Nightcrawler, Storm.
Or you can just do it.
The movie start with both Giant Size and First Class.
Or you can just do the first movie where the first movie is
First movie is First Class, we know
The first movie is just First Class. Yeah. It ends with the Baptism by Fire, where they go to Cape Canaveral to stop Magneto from fucking killing a bunch of people. Yeah. And then it could just end with, hey, you have to go to this island, Krakoa.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the next movie is Giant Size by itself. Yeah. Where you guys... Just by itself. With the Wolverine
tease at the end of Hulk.
Right. Well, you
and then you introduce Proud Star, Nightcrawler.
They will all be in the movie two.
At the beginning.
The beginning of number two. And then
you kill off Proud Star in the first movie. Right. Like, he dies.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, we got the team back, and they go to Krakoa and just do Giant Size X-Men.
And then Sunfire can leave at the end like he always does and then come back in another movie.
And just do Giant Size X-Men as the second movie.
Yeah.
And call it something else. Don't call it Giant Size.
Call it X-Men... Yeah, I don't know.
No, I don't know. And then the third one could be whatever. And then the third one could be whatever you want.
Third one could probably be Apocalypse again.
Or whatever you want to do.
Cool, because it's also going to be the next 2 years also tying into the MCU.
Right.
We're speculating too much. We were just talking about the Eternals hardcover.
I know.
And then we got into X-Men.
Okay,
sorry, guys, but you probably liked it a little bit.
Yes. So we'll wrap this up.
DC News.
Yeah, so DC News, which, oh, I can probably talk about it now.
Yes, you can.
Because it's public knowledge. So a couple weeks ago, Scott Snyder showed up to
our
store.
5 minutes after I fucking left.
Yeah.
So come on, Scott.
Scott Snyder showed up to our store. And showed us the preview, which should have been in actual issue 39 of Justice League, but wasn't in it. It was the Encore promo, which we saw a piece of it, which was the Wonder Woman one. There is going to be two more pieces of art, and I can tell you this now because I saw them already from Scott himself off his phone. Superman Darkseid. Well, it's just 1990 Superman with Darkseid's arm attached to him, with the black suit and the mullet.
weird.
But and then go. Batman riding a motorcycle, a motorcycle made of the bones of Bardos, and he's considered the god of death.
Fuck yes.
So yeah, Scott I saw that. Snyder,
as much as I don't want Metal 2, I'm gonna give you a big fuck yeah Metal.
Oh, like, and that just sounds so and cool. I can say this
because like the first Dark Knight's Metal definitely didn't scream Metal. This one screams Metal. Superman with a giant arm and a huge mullet. Spider-Man. Batman riding a motorcycle made of bones and Wonder Woman with a flaming chainsaw. That's metal as fuck.
She Ash Williams it, and the last of the exactly. truth is a ripcord.
Exactly. How fucking sick is that?
And I can say this.
That is metal.
I will say this now on the show that Wonder Woman is actually the lead of the series.
Makes sense. She's so, got all that God stuff tied right. to her.
So yeah, I can say that. So you heard it here first. So anyway, so what time is it? I want time stamp this so
it's
people
9
know.
O'clock.
It is 9 o'clock. Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. So this is, so in case...
Wow, the one time you date our episodes.
I'm dating it because someone's like, oh, we're bringing it here first on IGN. I'm like, no, motherfucker!
IGN can suck my left nut. We got it first.
I can definitely be like, no, eat a million dicks.
It was us on our podcast that we did.
Yes.
That 30 people listen to, but we love you all.
We do love them all, actually. All
right. So it's supposed to be his conclusion to his last decade of superhero work, which means is he done doing superheroes after this? I don't think so, but cool that it's going to okay. tie. Because if it's his last decade.
He didn't talk to us about it. He didn't talk to us about
that. Did he say that Swamp Thing is also going to be tied to it? Because that's part of his decade of superhero stuff. No. Oh, lame.
It's not going
to
be, it's not like a wrap up. It's not like
I mean, just like Dark Knight.
No, it's not like a wrap up.
It says it's his conclusion to his last decade of
superhero it's his
work.
Final. It's not like, it's not what you, it's
not like a culmination.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not an implication. Like, all the characters I wrote, because he wrote Justice League for you know.
Yeah, but we know Justice League's going to be part of it.
Right, obviously. Batman. He never wrote Wonder Woman, you know.
Yeah, no, but she's still part of it.
Well, she's part of Justice League. Yeah. You know, so it doesn't matter. It's going to be like, it's the culmination of his work, meaning what he's been doing from Metal forward.
I think it was even started in just when he started Batman.
Kinda-ish. Because really, it's Detective 27, the issue he wrote.
Yeah.
And that's what led to Last Night on Earth.
So Detective 27 to currently.
But no. Really, but from his Batman run to, really his Batman run till now.
I really hope he throws Swamp Thing in there just a little bit because Wonder Woman still has Justice League Dark hanging around.
Right, but I don't think, like I said, I think it's going to be focused because Scott Snyder can't write Batman, cannot not use Batman in his stuff.
We know, Batman's writing bones.
Yeah, so I think it really is a combination, what he considers superhero work is Batman, Batman, Justice League, Batman, Metal, Justice League, Metal 2.
Yeah.
While his Swamp Thing stuff, I think he even views it more as independent stuff.
True. Makes sense.
Because it wasn't tied to anything. He did his own fucking thing.
It's only tied to Swamp Thing lore.
Right.
And now currently Justice League Dark, kind of?
That's like saying any writer, it's anything after, you know, you do something monumental, and as a writer, you pick off those pieces. So no, I don't think it's like that. So it's not, it's that his story means, it means he wrote a good enough story that people are using concepts he left behind.
Yeah.
So, I think that's that.
I totally agree. But also, Swamp Thing, hell yeah. Make him metal. Make him, like, big tree spikes, and, like, make him huge and buff, and he's, like, a bouncer with, like, a tank top. Totally great. Make him wear blue jeans.
I hate you.
Now you're picturing it.
Why can't
he looks like Savage Dragon, but made of plants.
I hate you.
Wearing jeans and a tank top.
I still hate you. Let's get to the
topic of the week. Marvel's The End. Bum, 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 bum. Give me some history, James.
Because
I didn't know these were a thing.
Right.
When I heard the last story ever, I was like, are they killing these characters off? What's happening?
All right, so how do you tell a final story of a book that will never come to pass? Well, back in 2002, Peter David answered that question when he converted his 12-page prose short story called The Ultimate Hulk, called Hulk The End, into a one-shot issue called Incredible Hulk The End, which told the final story of Bruce Banner as he walked the wasteland of the United States, or an irradiated wasteland of the United States.
Hell yeah.
Many writers would use this as inspiration with Future Perfect. That's literally how it was drawn. Inspire them to do the Maestro story.
Dope.
And I would say, actually, personally, I would say Old Man Logan.
Yeah,
and I will tell you why. There's a story that I will talk about in a little bit. Yeah, that
I totally get it. Makes sense.
But more so, the inspiration was felt when other writers began to do the same thing. How could you tell? How could you end a story? End a story of a character that would never go away. The End is a series of one shots, and in some cases, a limited miniseries. But all ending with the death of the main character, relatively. Some that wasn't 100%.
In some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe not the death, but the end of.
Right. So the next series that Marvel The End did was called sorry, the next series that was next to the end series was called Maul of the End. But in trades and soft cover, it's called Thanos the End.
Yeah.
It was a 6-issue miniseries in May of 2003, written and drawn by Jim Starlin. This was in line with his cosmic saga he was building around Thanos as an introduction. Many actually thought this was going to be canon because it was written by Jim Starlin and everything that Starlin had been doing was canon to the Marvel Universe at the time. Think of it, you got to think of this Thanos the End as if Thanos got what he truly wanted, but then in, at the end decided to save the universe using the heart of the universe to reset the Marvel Universe. So what Thanos the End was, Thanos went out and found out about a thing called the Heart of the Universe, which was always protected by this thing called the Order. He finds out what they are about. He goes, takes the Heart of the Universe, realizes that the universe is going to be destroyed. He sacrifices himself at the end of it to restart the Marvel Universe.
Hype.
That's what you got from that hype?
Dude, that is super. Are you fucking kidding me? That's crazy.
The next one, miniseries was Wolverine in the End, which saw Wolverine traveling the world. It's so far in the future. I think he's like 500 or 600 years old. He has like long white hair. His healing factor is starting to slow down.
Which we got in Old Man Logan.
That's what I was going to say. But he's being haunted by a brother he didn't know he had, and who's also an immortal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, so it's super far in the future where the X-Men are, like, celebrities and stuff. And that's why I said, like, I think a lot of, like, the Old Man Logan was got the inspiration from this. It's the same type of concept where Wolverine's wandering the world because of his old age.
Yeah.
There was a Iron Man The End one-shot in which Tony was grooming his replacement as he got too old and built a space elevator. He was building a space elevator. That's the entire story is him building a space elevator.
I'm building an elevator to the moon.
But, like, he's old and he's like, well, I gotta introduce... So they introduced a new Iron Man called Nicholas Travis, who was never introduced in the mainstream universe yet.
Ooh.
I say yet because now we live in the age of...
Where Donny Cates can pull out random-ass characters to show up in Venom and then...
Right, really, or, like, Dice Slot can use, like, Nicholas Travis in his Iron Man 2020, for example. Punisher the End was the next in line, which was the only Max imprint
because to do Punisher so. Max is really popular at the time.
Yes. And it was written by Garth Ennis.
Of course it was.
which had Old Man Punisher going from being in, locked up in Sing Sing prison to wandering around in A-rated New York where he kills the last of humanity, who is also apparently a secret world government. And then at the end he wanders into a burning Central Park while his skin falls off and his hair comes out in clumps because he has radiation poisoning.
Nice.
Fantastic Four at the End was written and drawn by Alice Davis. This was a 6-issue miniseries that saw the final adventure of Marvel's first family. After the family had split apart because of the tragic death of Franklin and Valeria, because they take place in the future, Franklin and Valeria were adults already. So they went on a mission to fight Dr. Doom and they were killed in an explosion. So the family splits apart. Johnny's the only superhero left. Reed kind of locks himself away in his lab. Sue is just trying to make sense of the world, and Ben's trying to make a life with Alicia. He actually ends up having kids in that future.
Yeah, I remember that.
But then, like, Doom comes back, back in this, and to prevent further problems with their family, they go after Doom. There's Spider-Girl at the End was a one-shot telling the final story of May Parker while the MC2 imprint was still being used. This was also actually the final issue of the series. So it actually said it was considered part of the end. Because
the end of the end?
Well, this is the only time where the end was actually the end of the series. Because it does take place in an alternate future involving April Parker, which is the symbiotic clone of May.
Okay.
It's a Venom
symbiote. I love learning about this stuff through you. It's a
Venom symbiote that gains sentience, that believes that she's really May Parker, but they're like, no, you're not. You're a symbiote.
That's sick. Is it kind of like the Marvel's X stuff?
Kind of.
I feel like it kind of ties into that with the Thing kids and then with the thing you just talked about, the Venom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like,
it's probably not
May,
super tied to it.
It's not tied to it at all. Yeah. It's just that it's like homages to yourself and linear thinking. So April is, the book opens up with April, it's in the far future where April, or Auntie M, as she's known in the future, is telling the story of May Parker and how May died, and then the future's kind of shit, so April has to go back in time, and...
April, May, I hate that.
I know. You just caught that? I hate that. I was reading it at the time, like, I fucking hate your name.
It's April May Parker. Go home.
No, it's April Parker and then May Parker.
I thought May was the middle name.
No, May is the daughter. Peter's daughter.
Slightly not as worse, but still, April Parker is dumb because May Parker is.
Because she's a clone of May.
I get it.
She's April. That's because she named it.
June? Because it's a clone of May, so it'll be the one after.
I know.
It makes more sense. But hey, April's a better name, though, because June, as good as June is, April sounds better phonetically.
It's just an awful name. I hate the puns. So
April, I want November Parker.
That's the name. So April goes back in time. The symbiote clone of May goes back to stop May from dying. Mm-hmm. So May survives and the future comes better. That actually ties back into, that story continues on into Last Hero Standing and Last Planet Standing, which were the last two miniseries of the MCT universe. And then my favorite, the end story was X-Men The End, which was a six issue miniseries. We explore the final adventures of the X-Men while the mysterious Cassandra Nova tore the X-Men apart piece by piece. This is where we got to see the third Summers Brother theory come to light, where Gambit really is the third Summers Brother.
Which is really weird, but also really cool.
He's the third Summers Brother, but also clone of Mr. Sinister.
Where's the evidence behind the third Summers Brother thing?
It's literally in an X-Men issue. For our issue of Uncanny X-Men.
He's got DNA from Corsair and then Sinister?
No, so how it works is this. Little sidetrack, weird X-Men thing. I'm going to rant about for a second. Because you started, this is your fault.
Totally fine.
So, it comes from an issue of Uncanny X-Men where... it's Sinister and Scott talking.
Yeah.
And Sinister says, yeah, like your brothers. And Scott, like your brother.
At the time, he's like, Havoc.
Right, so he's like, you mean Alex? And he's like, brother, or your brothers, you mean, and Scott's like, I only have one brother, Alex. He goes, yeah, that's what I meant. Meaning that there's another brother.
But the theory was, Vulcan.
Well, Vulcan was written years and years later.
Yeah.
So, the next in line, everyone thought Adam Extreme was his brother, because he has a similar power set.
Yeah, Adam Extreme.
And he's the only human-Shi'ar hybrid.
Yeah, so people were like...
So, I was like, oh, he's the Summers brother.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, well, that's because Deacon, Lalonde's brother, rapes Caitlin, Scott's mother. And then, so like, oh, that's going to be Adam. And everyone's like, no, because he's too radical.
Yeah, what if it's Gambit?
And then they were like, well... What was cool about this, they were like, it makes sense. Well, Gambit has, again, same power set.
Yeah, kinetic charging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a similar power set. And because Gambit had such a big, open origin to play with.
It was very just like, he's from Florida, kind of.
No, no one even knew where he was from, even his origin, except for that he was adopted, because he's adopted by the Thieves Guild members. Mm-hmm. No one knows his actual birth parents. So they were like, oh, maybe Gambit. So in the end series, they make it where... Sinister cloned himself. He's actually the son of Sinister. Mm-hmm. That's his actual son that he cloned, but using Summer's DNA to create his power set.
That's super cool. It's kind of like the Chimera stuff. That
yes.
Out. So maybe they could make that canon. Oh, man. Let's go. Tinny Howard, make it work.
I love how
talk to Hickman. Was Tinny fucking Excalibur? Yeah, famous on that. Talk to Hickman. Talk to the guy who's doing Hellions, Jim Zub, because Sinister's in that book.
Yep.
Make it work.
Yeah, so
Chimeras, baby. Woo!
So they had that was the third Summers Brother. Yeah. And then Vulcan was finally released. Was so when this ended, this is the only the end to get an actual series a sequel series to it.
Yeah.
Called Generation Gen Next and Gen Next United, which were the children that were introduced in the end, their story after their parents were dead and shit got real.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the ends. Oh, that's the older the end. So recently we've gotten a couple other ones, but these were all one shots. So we have Miles Morales at the end, written by I'm like, where's
it's hard to find these sometimes.
Yeah, I'm like, where's this title? Oh, they're at the end. Yeah, written by Salad Ahmad and art by Damian Scott. You have Deadpool at the end, which is Joe Kelly, and art by Mike Hawthorne. You have Doctor Strange at the end. Which I thought was written by the actual team doing Doctor Strange, but that's I was not wrong. Wade. No, it's not. Yeah, it wasn't.
It's the
Wade.
Ones who did the annual.
Which is written by Lee Williams and art by Felipe Andre. By the way, this ties back into Bally Adam.
Oh, does it?
Because magic, spoiler, yeah, ties into magic, she shows up there, yeah. It's the magic from Baliana, because that's the one she trains with.
Oh, sick.
The one that's been, it was time traveling, she was like, I'm learning all my magic, she shows up back in Uncanny X-Men, the revolutionary ever. She's like, yeah, I've been training your Doctor Strange, and they're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, that's really
and
cool.
And it's this Strange she's been training with. That's sick. You have Captain Marvel in the end, which is written by Kelly Thompson, though, right?
That's the creative team, yeah. Yeah. And it's the exact creative
team. Kelly Thompson, yeah, it's the exact same team, yeah.
I read that book before, and I was like, it's the same team.
Venom, the end, which I have a problem with. Adam Warren is the writer, and Jeffrey Cruz is the art. And this week came out the final, the end for the current year, written by Eric Lawson, which you should know by from Savage Dragon fame, and art.
I think he did the
Eric Lawson did the art too. Yep. Yeah. I'm not going to do a rundown because these are actually newish.
We'll do small rundowns. They'll always tell them what they're about.
Kinda.
Well, I can do a real quick one without too many spoilers.
So I'll start from Miles because that was the first one to come out. Miles Morales is now the mayor of Brooklyn, and they are kind of closed off in this weird like bubble society, while they're also being invaded by someone that looks like Captain America.
But he's also like Thanos because he's purple.
Right, like he's a mixture of characters. He's a mixture
of like big Avengers characters,
yeah,
or something like that, and Cyclops visors or something. Anyway, so they have a big brawl.
And then he dies at the end, but his legacy lives on.
Yeah, because the end.
Because it's Venom, the end.
Venom we'll talk about last, because we have problems with Venom. Yes. I think it's the weakest one out of all of them. Deadpool, thank God. I hope you gave me this one. Deadpool's my favorite, honestly. Because it almost made me cry. And I know I've talked about how Deadpool has like a lot of emotions nowadays. And Deadpool books can make you cry if you really get into them. But this one's got a really touching moment with his daughter. And he's like, well, if you die, I don't want to be on this planet anymore. I hate being immortal, blah, blah, blah. So it's really cool to see Deadpool at wit's end trying to figure it out. My only problem with it is the ending where they brick wall everything and they go break in case of writer's block. I really think that's kind of like lame, but it's funny. But yeah. It's also kind of a little lame. But this is definitely my favorite one. I disliked two of them. We'll get to those later. What's the next one, Jamie?
This one is Doctor Strange.
Hell yeah.
Which is Stevens figuring out that magic kind of doesn't matter anymore in the rise of technology.
Sorcerer.exe.
Right. Yeah. Very very much kind of the same
problem. Sorcerer.text mystic.exe.
Jesus.
I just read it.
The same thing, like we had the same problem when we had Doctor Strange in 2099. Yeah. How does magic work in a world full of technology?
Exactly.
So he finally... Exactly does. So, and then at the end, he dies.
He jumps into a big ball of fire, and he goes, fucking magnificent.
He realizes he rebuilds magic in their world.
Yeah, and then it jumps into the Battle of Atom thing right. that you were talking about with magic. Yes.
You have Captain... you can cover this, sorry.
Captain America! I didn't like this one that much.
I didn't like this one either.
Yeah. The art's fine. It's Eric Larson. If you like Eric Larson, you like Eric Larson. If you don't, you don't. It's one of those things. Kind of like Liefeld.
Yes.
Where it's like, it's very hit or miss. But I understand the message. I think the message is really powerful. But I think everything that leads up to the message is kind of stupid and, like, he's basically just fighting a cult of Red Skulls.
Yeah.
And then he goes, to stop them, I must give up being Captain America. And then he does.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it makes sense. Also uses... But the message is great.
Right, the message is great. And the fact that he also he uses his blood and stuff to heal the people that
have been affected. Exactly, because he gets super soldier serum stuff. Yeah, but it's just kind of like, okay, whatever. That's that kind of piss poor Captain America end.
Yeah. You also have Captain Marvel, which I actually really enjoyed this one.
I think this one was pretty good.
It seemed like a true ending for that character.
Yeah, because it makes sense. And then also it gives you all those, like, ships that you love so much with all, like, the kids' characters.
Yes, I love fucking Next Generation shit. You know I love Next Generation shit.
I know.
Carol has finally come back to Earth after being away for many years, after a massive battle, and after the fact that Earth has been frozen over. She comes back to find out that the children of a lot of the Avengers, a lot of the younger heroes that exist now are now adults, and they've been pretty much the Avengers, quote-unquote, on this planet. But she knows they're going to eventually die because there is no fucking sun.
So she becomes the sun!
Yeah, pretty much. She binaries herself.
So cool!
She binaries herself at the end.
It's so cool.
And so, again, these are just quick synopses of these... Yeah. Without giving up too much away, because we want you guys to actually go out and read these. The
only one I don't want you to read is Venom, just because it's weird. It's too convoluted.
Right.
Like, it's not a bad read, honestly, if you like Venom and it involves a lot of Celestial stuff. But if you're just reading these end books, it's definitely the weakest one, because it's got, like, meta-commentary, remix, it's got all this weird, cringy stuff. It's
written very much as a comedy, which is, it's not the problem.
It's the weakest.
It's the weakest because when you think of the final Venom... Venom story, and given
you don't
that
think he's going to be like a weird beatboxing space alien,
right? Like you don't need that comedy, lasers. Given the fact that the atmosphere you've been getting from Venom,
is
heavier, grimdark. Yeah. Which again, this is my problem with Ragnarok. The tonality doesn't fit the story.
No.
So the story is the extinction of all biological biological species in the universe, mm-hmm. being overrun by an AI system led by the now. AI virus of Tony Stark.
Yeah, which is super cool.
And it's the final battle between them. So, but because Venom has the ability to recall alternate versions.
With genetic codes. With the codex thing that came from the spines of Absolute Carnage.
Right, which is cool. Which is nice. Which I'm glad they, again, with a lot of these, the end books, and you'll notice them if you've read any of them before.
Each era ties into what they're
going on with stuff. So, like, for example, like Cassandra Nova being the villain in X-Men in the End. Makes sense, because she was a big villain in that during that run of X-Men. Mm-hmm. Carol's to the team, like Spider-Woman's son being an adult in this one, and he's leading mm-hmm. the team. That makes sense. And Captain Marvel. Doctor Strange, that ties right back into the Battle of the Atom.
Yeah.
The Miles one.
Yeah,
with
but this
the,
one just...
This is just all over the place. Yeah. That Venom one is just literally all over
it's
the place.
It's all time stream stuff and Eddie Brock and then...
And it makes sense, like the Eddie Brock story makes sense to it. Everything else makes sense to it. It's just not... The execution's not there for the story you want to tell.
It also doesn't seem like Venom is the narrator, but he is.
Yeah.
But he isn't. He's right. Like narrating like the third person, but sometimes it's like the writer narrating.
Yeah, and then the writer narrates, really and then weird. The ending, you find out who really is narrating.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's not awful. It's just not the, of all the ends, and I've read a lot of them, it's the weakest in the end. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, yeah, I get, but like, again, it's just the weakest. Yeah. Only because you're playing off the Venom run we've been getting lately.
Yeah, but this batch is all really good so far.
Right.
For my first time reading the end books, I thought these were all really cool, except for Venom-ish and Miles Morales-ish.
Yeah, and again, like, it's, like the thing with Miles is that...
seems weird, and also the art doesn't fit, in my opinion.
That's the thing. Like, it's okay. Like I said, the Miles one is okay.
Yeah.
Because it fits the mantra of the end. It's the mm-hmm. final story of these characters.
Yeah.
So, yes, of course, the hero's going to die at the
end.
And Miles
isn't like Captain America who survives till, like, four more World Wars. He's like us. He's just a dude with spider powers.
Right, so he's not going to be that much older.
Yeah, so...
You know, his final adventure...
His end is, like, 80 years.
Right, his
end... So he's, like, just hitting 2099 when he's like, oh, I'm dead.
Right, so it's a little bit different for everyone else. Because they have their powers allow them longevity.
Yeah, barely.
Yeah. So, all right, Hunter, if you can write the end for one person... What character would be and what would be your pitch?
You know my answer.
I know. Come on, tell me.
It's Howard the Duck, baby.
All right. What would you consider Howard the Duck's final story to be?
DuckTales. Woo! He gets really rich and goes on adventures with kids. And then he dies at the end. Think about it. Like, it's Howard the Duck. He's got, like, an extended duck family, and he's got, like, a bunch of kids that are all, like, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah.
They're all
so you're just writing DuckTales.
It's DuckTales, but Howard the Duck grit. Think of, like, Detective DuckTales with Howard the Duck's grit and Marvel stuff.
So you're just writing DuckTales.
But Marvel, yes. Marvel's DuckTales.
Disney's owned by Marvel. Disney owns DuckTales.
I know, but it's Marvel.
So
Marvel
it's just DuckTales. Is this current season of DuckTales?
Yeah.
You're just writing DuckTales.
I want to write
but
DuckTales.
But instead of Uncle Scrooge, it's Howard the Duck.
Yeah, it's Uncle Howard.
Wow. What a pitch.
Hey, man, it's not bad, and it rolls with my style of weird comedy. Let's do DuckTales, but it's Howard the Duck, so it's not like someone who's like loves money. It's someone who is like just a private investigator, but with a bunch of kids.
Okay, fine.
It works.
Okay.
What's yours, Captain Convoluted?
Mine's a convoluted show.
It's going to be.
It's not going to be convoluted. I actually would do a Spider-Woman in the end. And by when I say Spider-Woman, I mean Spider-Gwen.
Okay.
Her name's Spider-Woman. People.
Ghost Spider.
Yeah, Ghost Spider. Oh, yeah. Ghost
He's
Spider.
Got a new name, Ghost
yes,
Spider.
Yes, Ghost Spider. Yeah, I forgot that. I would do Ghost Spider at the end, but I would spin it from
that one, I'm
with her Miles
where they were
story.
Dating.
Yeah, when they're dating. So I would have it where she stays in the 616 universe, mm-hmm. and then her and Miles, it's the story
like
of her.
Together have a kid?
Right, it's her final battle. So it would end with, it would be after she has the kids, what we saw in Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
It would be like her going, I'm going to finally go back and visit my world one last time because she gets an alert from the Avengers of her Earth.
Yeah.
Finally, and she's like, oh, I haven't used this in forever. Mm-hmm. And she goes back to her Earth and it's completely, like, meltdown.
Yeah.
And she has to...
Because she wasn't there to stop, like, Daredevil from taking over.
No, it would be the rise of, like...
Punisher.
No, it would have it where... No, it would have it, like, the rise of... I would think, like, a Clone Saga thing.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, Peter Parker's back from the grave. But it's Scarlet Spider, but he's, like, Lizard underneath. Like, Octavio Mass is, like, half like Lizard.
Like, red Lizard.
Yeah, like, half his face is, like, Lizard morphed, and it's, like, Peter, and it's, like, Scarlet Spider. And it's the rise of him, and then she has to stop. So her final battle is also the first battle that she had.
That's so
And that she would die protecting her Earth.
So you thought about this way more than I did.
No, actually, I thought about it on the spot.
No, you didn't. You fucking lied.
No, I'm not kidding.
That's a good pitch.
That's actually because I didn't. Like, I thought of other characters I would have done before we did the episode. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'd probably do like something like Daredevil, but like he's easy to do.
Yeah, he fights ninjas.
He would either fight the final battle with Elektra or a final battle with Bullseye, and he would die. You know, I'm trying to think of characters they haven't done, and like it would be a nice send off. So I'm like, you know what, go Spider.
Yeah. Hey Marvel, if you want to use these ideas, contact us. His is better than mine, but mine's got a duck in it, so who's it really
You're just
better?
Writing DuckTales.
I'm just writing DuckTales, but with Howard the Duck. Hell yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, so let me...
Howard. Woo!
So, yeah, I think that's the thing. I think... Honestly, what was cool about it, I think they should wait every 10 years to do these.
I wouldn't do 10. I would maybe do every, like, 2 or 3.
Well, I would like to... If they do wait longer, I want to see the miniseries. I would like to see more miniseries.
Yeah, like...
Not just the one shot. Yeah, I like the 6-issue stuff. Because, like, for example, I would like to see the world of the Captain America one flushed out a little bit more to explain the rise of these Red Skulls. I would like to see more of the Doctor Strange one to flesh out.
Magic takes over.
Right. Yeah. The Miles Morales one definitely has questions that need to be answered.
Yeah.
The Deadpool one was cool as a one-shot. I think the Venom... I think the
Deadpool and Venom really sum themselves up. Same with Captain Marvel.
Right.
You can't stretch those ones.
Yeah, those were cool. Captain Marvel was literally, like... Her entire story was her coming back to Earth and then dying at the end. But like I said, I think the ones that need a little more expansion, like the Miles and the Doctor Strange one, and even the Doctor Strange one, I don't really need expansion.
Yeah, it can have...
That works as a one-shot. The Miles one, really, I think should have been a mini-series, because you could have played around with...
You could have done 3 issues.
Right. And done, like, some of his supporting cast and see what's been going on with all those guys.
Yeah, Gank and Bombshell.
Well, we know Gank dies. There's a memorial for him in that book. Yeah, in the book.
I barely remember.
Because he's the one who put the bubble over Brooklyn so it wouldn't be destroyed.
Cool.
But yeah, explaining something like why Peter's not there, why certain like some of your supporting cast isn't there.
Yeah, where are your boys at?
You know, without kind of a quick one note rush job.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the one thing I do. I think wish they would do it more, but do more miniseries.
Yeah, sounds great. So James, what came out this week? Can you tell me what did we get? Well, you're about to find out, folks. Hell yeah, we got the X Report, baby! Woo! I'm surprised it took us this long to do another one, mostly because we're just waiting on them to release stuff.
Yeah,
the next one's Wolverine, you're gonna hate that one.
I might not, I'm fine.
But let's go!
Alright, guys.
What do we got this week?
So you guys know I do the X Report every time a new X-Men family book drops.
Hashtag Krakoa.
Oh, man. So by the way, instead of being called Children of the Atom, we should be called Citizens of Krakoa.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
We are the citizens.
We are the citizens of Krakoa, we're no longer Children of the Atom. So this week is X-Men Fantastic Four number 1, part of a 4-issue miniseries written by Chip Zdarsky and written drawn by Terry Dodson. For a while, I thought it was Greg Land that was drawing
Terry
it.
Terry and Rachel Dodson. I believe they both.
Oh, and she's inking. She's not. So this kind of spins out of the whole question about what Franklin's going to do now that the Krakoa exists and there's mutants, the whole mutant nation, and they want him to come home.
Come home, quote, baby quote. Boy.
So. It started, I don't do full spoilers for this, because I want y'all to go out and read this book and love it as much as I love it.
Give the spoils you can.
All right, so it opens up with it's being narrated by Franklin, kind of giving you a recap of Franklin as a character if you haven't been reading him for years. If you are only reading FF recently, you only know him as the teenage, almost adult version of Franklin. So they do a quick recap of Franklin's history real quick. And it explains that he's been losing his powers lately, if you know that, if you've been reading the current FF.
Yeah.
We cut to the Marauders going to Krakoa, where Kitty is summoned by Xavier, and they are tasked with the mission. She is tasked with the mission with her kind of Marauders team to go get Franklin and bring him to Krakoa.
Yeah. Because he's a lost mutant.
Well, he's not lost.
Quote unquote lost.
He's not a lost mutant. So, going back to what they use in terms of lost mutants, is mutants they can't find.
Yeah.
That they don't know where they are. He's not. They know exactly where he is. It's just that they're he's like now. Yeah, they're like, we're just gonna convince him to come home.
Yeah.
Because they don't believe that Reed will be able to fix Franklin, and it seems that.
And they know they can with their genetics.
No, it just seems that Xavier's really shady in this. But I've said that about Xavier since the
get. Every X report we have, and every book that you don't talk about because you know you don't want to do all the X reports.
It's not.
I know. He's shady as fuck.
Yeah.
We've been speculating about it since Oxbox.
Yeah, and if you are keeping up with X-Men, X-Force issue 6 reveals that he let himself be assassinated.
Of course he did.
He did it on purpose. He let himself get killed.
Makes sense. Why would he, like, it's just so weird that they're like, he got killed by people who stole skin.
Yeah, and they're like.
That's weird as shit.
Yeah, like, no, he let himself get killed.
Yeah.
And his whole thing in X-Men issue 6 recently about locking Saint Darwin and X-23 in the vault. Yeah, Xavier's a douche.
Yeah, he is.
So back to the story. They're going to go get Franklin, and they also do infographic pages in this, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I do have a problem with it because it does kind of counteract what we saw in FF issue 16 recently. Yeah, you know, the Port of Origin 16, story.
Yeah, 16.
Where they reveal that the Cosmic Storm itself gave them the powers, but it was tossed aside because the guy directed at them. So it kind of adds to it more. Yeah, that it's called the God Power, which is where they got their powers from exactly.
Okay.
We cut to Ben and Ben, the Thing, and Franklin at a diner talking about how Reed doesn't ever want to fix them.
I mean, I feel like he tries.
But that's the whole point. Franklin's seeing it from a teenage point of view that my father can fix all this impossible stuff, but he can't fix me and you and where his family.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben's trying to explain to him, like, your father's trying his best. He's
I feel like Chip Zdarsky really knows how to write Fantastic Four dynamics. Give him the main title, man.
The next is the X-Men show up. The Marauders actually show up with Wolverine at 4 Yancey Street.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big fucking thing in the street where they're like, oh, you don't trust us. And she's like, of course I don't. I know you want to take my son.
Big thing in the street? Yeah, I think Ben's there.
Shut up. So, Bishop, the Marauders, and Wolverine show up where they're like, hey, you don't want us here. And she's like, yeah, you want to get my son. And then Xavier and Magneto roll up.
Rolling up.
And then Kitty's like, hey, Franklin. She goes, Kitty! And he runs over to her because it goes back to an old miniseries called Avengers vs. X-Men.
Yeah.
Where Kitty was, no, way before that.
AVX?
No. It was original Avengers vs. X-Men. Kitty was still a teenager, and she was dying. And she was locked, Dr. Doom had locked her in a vault to try to heal her, and Franklin would go visit her all the time.
Oh, that's cute.
So, they have a rapport, so, also, I think he has a crush on her. That's my own theory.
I mean, yeah.
And then,
I think everyone's got a crush on Kitty.
Yeah, kinda. Xavier and Magneto, roll up, they kinda have tea together, and Xavier's trying to strong-arm Reed to be like, hey, you know where you belong. And
you can fix him.
Yeah. Let's go. You can't do it type of thing. And he goes, oh, well, then he's like, I'll make you do this. And he goes, I don't need your mental violations.
Wow.
So then Kitty and Franklin decide to dip the fuck out.
I would.
And it's kind of just like going, hey, Kitty explains to him, just do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want to do. So she takes him to the Cocoon Gate that's in Central Park. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Those are the gate that's in, not in Central Park. I forgot exactly where Manhattan
Staten
is.
Island?
No, it's in Manhattan, but I forgot exactly where it is. It's pretty much saying, hey, it's right here. If you ever want to use it, it's here. Don't worry about it. And then the Marauders show up. Johnny shows up. Johnny's like, oh, you kidnapped my nephew. And the Marauders like, well, we have diplomatic immunity. We can do what we want. And start fighting in the middle of the street.
We have diplomatic immunity.
Yeah. And then Reed's like, you don't know what diplomatic immunity means. They don't, apparently.
It's Pyro probably is just like, we got diplomatic immunity.
No, that's Storm said it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was an awful line.
That sounds
line.
Like a Pyro thing.
It says like, yeah, sorry. Technically, it was, yeah. They're talking about, because they try to take Franklin from, Johnny tried to grab Franklin, and then Storm blows him away. If she'll stay away from here, has diplomatic immunity because she's technically a citizen of Krakoa.
Okay, gotcha.
And then, so all of them fighting. And then Franklin makes a beeline for the gate and runs through the gate. but can't go through it.
Franklin can't?
No.
Bro.
Because Reed put a chip in him that makes it the gates impossible for him to read.
Wow, what a fucking asshole.
And everyone, including the X-Men, were like, wow, you're a dick. And the four were like, wow, you're a dick.
What an asshole.
Everyone was just like, wow,
you're... You can't take my son.
Yeah, everyone was just like, wow, you're a dick. And then even Xavier's like, fine. We won't make your son's pick. He'll just come to us on his own now.
Yeah.
And they go back to Krakoa.
Wow. Chip Zdarsky knows what's up.
And then everyone's less like, even Ben Grimm was like, I'm tired of defending you to your children.
Yeah, that's fucked. Oh, man, that's so cool. Zdarsky knows what's up.
And then Franklin is like, I'm leaving. And he's like, yeah. Valeria's like, I'm going with you. Because fuck Dad.
Yeah, I wanted to read this because it's Zdarsky, but it was the X report, so you had to.
And then, all of a sudden, they jump onto the Marauder. Or what's the name of the actual Marauder ship?
I think it's just called the USS Marauder, or it's the White Vessel or some shit.
Yeah, like the new vessel.
Yeah, it's something weird.
So, she jumps on that, and then they were like, alright, we're going back. Kitty opens the top and sees that Valeria and Franklin are there. I'm pretty much spoiling the entire book. That they're they're not going to Krakoa, though. They're going somewhere else. They're going to rescue, and then someone shows up at the end.
Ooh,
yeah. Yeah, this is one of four. I definitely recommend, if you are an FF fan, if you are an X-Men fan, this is a big tie-in for both their teams.
It's the first time the X-Men have crossed over into the mainstream Marvel Universe after Krakoa.
Yes, it is.
Well, the first time they've had other people.
Yes.
Besides the quick Savage Avengers we get, which we won't spoil, yeah. So Savage Avengers was like, we got it too. So, that was your X-Report. Time for the book reviews. This week I'm doing Backtrack by Brian Jones, Jake Elphick, and Doug Garbark. It is by Oni Press. This is sick. You know me and my indie books. I love all this weird stuff. It's this race car thing through time. I don't want to give too much away, but that's like the premise.
Yeah.
It's this female race car driver who did like, not a race car driver, getaway driver, named Levy. She is doing like, she's got this, she's on a bender. That's what I should phrase it as. She's on a bender and she's kind of throwing her life away because something happened to her boyfriend slash husband. And then this dude shows up who in my mind is like just Satan. He talks weird. He's got like a red suit. He's evil looking. He's like Satan. He shows up and offers a proposition. Come race for me and I can basically go back in time and reverse something that happened to you and change your life. Then he shows her a video of the boyfriend slash husband who died. Saying, oh man, look, I can't believe we're on an adventure. You should be here too. And he looks older, and she freaks out. She's like, that's not possible.
Right.
So then she goes to the airfield that the guy tells them to meet at. They have a race. Then shit starts to hit the fan, and we get the time travel shenanigans. I love it when books kind of go weird, like you know me.
Of course.
The weirder the better. This just kind of takes the cake. This and Afterlift. So I really recommend Backtrack. Art's phenomenal. The writing is solid. There's only a couple things where I was like, okay, that's a little weird to say. But other than that, it just works well. Everyone's reacting to this dinosaur thing as well as everyone should be. Like, no one's freaking out immediately except for the main character. Yeah. Everyone's like, this isn't real. This is fake. We were just on an airfield. All we have to do is drive 30 miles, and then we win. So everyone's freaking out. It's a solid book, man. I'm not going to spoil what happens at the end, but some sweet stuff happens. So I'm excited. 5 out of 5.
So you don't even have to ask you all the questions I normally ask you.
5 out of 5. Well, James, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week is actually funny because I actually love this type of shit. It's called The Man Who Fucked Up Time. By the way, on the invoice, it says The Man Who Effed Up Time is EFF, but we know what it says on the cover.
It says F hashtag money sign. Who's it done by?
All right, so it's done by John Layman and Carl Mastres.
Is John Layman the guy who did Chew?
I don't know.
Okay,
sorry. Honestly, I don't know.
I think it is.
No, because I know the artist.
The artist is Rob Guillory.
Yeah, and I know he's doing Fallman. I think it's John Layman. I don't know. Anyway, so it's on my Aftershock. It's new number one, and I love it because it's time travel.
Yeah.
So it opens up. Great. It opens up in the present day.
I'm time travel too.
Yes, I know. That's why I was like, when you start saying dinosaurs, it immediately opens up with dinosaur shit. I'm like, yo,
nice.
Both time travel books, dinosaurs. Yes. It opens up in present day, where it's a guy riding a. Dinosaur, and the main character, Sean, is running from him, and he just says, the main rule of time travel is you don't fuck up time.
And he does.
Yeah.
You can assume it's what he does, it's the title.
So that, and then there's a time that he's running around in, that he's getting chased by a man running a dinosaur, and they're all singing Name of the Hail of the King, King Abraham Lincoln the Fifth.
Okay.
So
let's go.
It then jumps around a lot. So the entire story then jumps back to how Sean got in this place. Yeah. He's a lab assistant at a tech firm that they start building time travel, and he has a shitty day at work.
It's kind of like
Chrome his nuts. His ex-roommate is kind of his boss there, and he's just an asshole. He's dating his ex-girlfriend. And he's just constantly being, like, it's just a shitty day at work constantly. So he resolves, he goes to a bar and he's sitting there hanging out, and then there's a guy, he talks about him, like, hey, why don't you use your time machine to go back in time, and he realizes it's a future version of himself. Talking to him at the bar, going, hey, he reveals that he's a future version of himself.
Yeah. Why don't you go back and get your girl?
And he goes, yeah, this you can fix, you can bend it, but don't mess around too
much. Don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck up time. They literally say that a million times in this book, by the way.
It makes sense. It's a great title.
He goes back. Gets a couple of things. All he does is he goes back. He stops at his office. He only goes back a week.
Okay.
In that time, he goes back. He delivers. He takes the notes out of his future backpack to deliver to the head of it, of the institute.
Yeah.
To explain, like, oh, here's how you can do this whole time travel thing. And to get the machine to work properly. Then he's also, like, sends flowers to his ex-girlfriend. It's like, hey, you know, maybe...
I still love you.
Right, and it's like, and then how to get him back.
I also love the cardstock on the book.
I love the cardstock on the book, the cover at least. Oh, he also goes and plays the lotto.
That makes sense.
He goes and plays the lotto, walks through it, and then all of a sudden shit happens where he goes to the institute and realizes... And it goes back to the opening.
Wait, let me guess. He fucked up time?
Yeah, he fucked up time. And then these future police show up, and it's like, you have 2 days to fix time.
The TVA showed up.
Yeah, you have 2 days to fix time. Oh, you have 2 days to unfuck time.
Of course they said it like that.
They say it a lot. Oh, he'll kill his baby version. I mean, I spoiled the book, but it's not really.
He'll kill his baby?
As a baby.
Don't fuck up time. We're going to kill you when you're a baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, my favorite part of the book. Oh, give me a 5 out of 5, by the way.
I figured.
I'm a fucking
time travel
junkie. Oh, yeah. By the way, he did chew. He did chew.
He did chew, I guess, I thought.
Can I give it a little artist notes in the back?
Nice. I figured. I recognize the last name.
He did chew. What's cool about it, my favorite part is that at the end of it, it explains why Lincoln wasn't assassinated. And there's like a little Wikipedia article. It says like the failed assassination attempt of Abraham Lincoln.
That's sick.
And it's like, oh, it's a mysterious guy that fell from the sky by simulated magic. And reports are all contradictory.
So you think Sean might have fallen on John Wilkes Booth?
Yeah.
That's
cool. And killed John Wilkes Booth and stopped the assassination.
That's really cool.
And yeah, and it's like
I hope we get a bunch of those Wikipedia articles at the end of each.
Yeah, I hope so too. That's my favorite part about the book. Yeah. But I'm a sucker for time travel shit all the time. I love that. He's just an everyman. He himself is not the super mega scientist.
Yeah,
he's like the everyman, and he just wants a better life for himself. But we know clearly he does something down the line to fuck up time.
Obviously, he kills John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, obviously.
Potentially.
But we don't know exactly what happened. That's what's so cool about this opening. So maybe, and I'm only speculating, that the 2 days he has to fix time, he ends up fucking up more shit.
I feel like he'll fuck up more just until the end of the book. You should definitely check out Backtrack.
Anything time travel? There's dinosaurs in this
time fucking... travel, but it's not as heavy science fiction as it is. It's more like apocalyptic fiction.
Oh, man. So,
Give me the book of the week.
All the time travel. This doesn't have time travel, though.
We could... Wait, is there another book? No.
can we quickly time travel another book in here?
Ant-Man, the new 5-issue mini by Zeb Wells and Dylan Burnett. This is great. It's definitely my style of Ant-Man. You didn't really like it as much as I thought you would, because... I mean, I know you like comedy, but not as dumb as me.
So, I like the dumb stuff. Again, like normal guys, we'll go full spoiler cast. So, Hunter, go through spoiler.
So, Ant-Man and Stinger are doing an operation where they stop AIM from taking a bunch of drugs that would fuck up the Everglades. Stinger says the F word, and he goes, whoa, language. And they talk about being partners. Then they get a photo taken for journalism, for a newspaper. Because Ant-Man is still trying to find work, because after working for the Guardians and fighting for Giants, he realizes, oh shit, that doesn't pay, and his landlord wasn't cool about it. So he lives in an anthill. He gets to talk to all these ants in this book, which is really cool. Like these little mind speaks with the ants, and apparently talks to bees.
Well, we know
he can do it, but it's never really seen in the books as much. Highlighting it.
So it's never the answer back.
Yeah, exactly. We get to see the answers.
We always
though.
See him talking to them, but never the other way
around. It's kind of like in Star Wars or with Guardians of the Galaxy, the new one, where people are talking to Groot or the droid, like R2-D2,
right.
And they just know what he's saying, and we're just supposed to get context clues.
Right.
So, but we actually get the full-on thing. So, Something happens up on the surface. He zooms out of his anthill. His daughter visits and says, "Oh, I thought you lived here." And then she looks down and she's like, "Please don't tell me you're living in the anthill." Anyway, someone shows up, gives him a job. All of the bees for the Florida State Beekeepers Association have been taken. So he flies in, and this is great. He lands in the farm, and this guy goes, "You the ant guy Dr. Stooley sent over?" And he's like, "You watched me dismount a giant ant, so probably." Really? And he went, "Giant bee would be cooler." And he went, "Your opinion." So he's just, they ask him, "Oh, you can talk to ants, but can you also talk to bees? Blah, blah, blah. You should have sent B-Man." He's like, "There's no B-Man that I know of," whatever. So he starts talking to bees. The bees bring him into this cave where a swarm is hiding. And he gives like a Wikipedia rundown of swarm. And he goes, "I knew that off the top of my head because I'm smart." And the next panel is like Pym Industries, like Wikipedia on each villain through like the goggles, which is super cool. Then there's a great line where he goes, "But seriously, man, this is entirely too many bees. I've got to take some back." And then Swarm goes, "No, I need them. I need them all." And it's so stupid.
So you know the history of Swarm, right?
He's a Nazi.
He's a Nazi scientist. Bees. He's a Nazi scientist that died, and then his mind became the sentience.
Well, I can tell you, a Nazi supervillain whose consciousness is dispersed over hundreds of thousands of bees.
I forgot they did that.
Here. Yeah, I just said that. And then Ant-Man asks for a bee suit, and the bees cover him, and he's like, "This is way worse than I thought it was going to be." And then he fights Swarm. Turns out, boom, more bug people. We got Vespa, the Spectre of Hornets, Thread, the Silkworm Ghoul, and Tusk, the Rhino Beetle Hulk.
And they are all brand new characters that first appeared in this issue.
They're all buggy boys. So we get to see Ant-Man and Swarm with Stinger team up to fight these guys. So it's going to be Ant-Man teaming up with a Nazi B-Man. So that's going to be great for his public relations.
I'm not okay with this.
I'm slightly okay because it's all bug-based.
Yeah.
And then we get a cool teaser for Strange Academy, which I will not talk about, but you've seen it online.
Yeah, many times.
I'm hyped for that. I'll probably do a review when that comes out.
Okay.
So James, what did you think of Ant-Man before I get into my probably 5 out of 5?
I know, you're giving me 5 out of 5.
The art holds up. Even though
before I get into my review of it, what's your favorite part of the book?
The writing. The writing's fantastic.
What's your favorite moment? What's your favorite moment?
The bees joke. Okay. Honestly. No, it's his dynamic with Cassie. They're getting back into it after all the Frost Giant shit.
Yeah.
And they're finally getting back from, like, she's Stinger now, which they gave her that name at the right before he went to the Guardians in his last Astonishing Ant-Man run.
Yeah.
Where she worked for Hench for, like, 2 seconds just to get powers.
Okay, so what's your negative on the book?
I feel like they kind of shit on Ant-Man a lot for, like, no reason.
Right.
He had, like, a business, but then it flopped because he got arrested. Cool. But, like, it just seems so aggressive towards, like, everyone hates Ant-Man. Why? He did a bunch of stuff. Why does everyone have to hate on Ant-Man?
Because he's the joke.
I know. And it's a comedy book, so it's, send that to me. So, I'm really interested in seeing, like, what they're going to do with this the rest of this. It's only 5 issues right now. It could be, like, Hawkeye Freefall and get announced stealthily as an ongoing, but we don't know. Let's find out later. Worst part. Like I said, the Ant-Man stuff.
Okay.
The art is fine. Dylan Burt, we give a lot of shit for sometimes. Because, like, Cosmic Ghost Rider was great, but then he did X-Force, and I felt like it was too rushed and sloppy. But this is another refined Burnett, and I really like it.
Right.
Because, like, when Scott pulls his helmet off and he's got the floofy hair and the dumb face, I'm like, hell yeah. This is Paul Rudd vibes. Let's go.
It's like, Jesus, no.
So what are your problems with it? Because I know you didn't like it as much as I do.
Okay, so
I'm giving it a 5 out of 5, by the way.
Yes, I figured. Okay, so
pick it up.
Ant-Man. I'll talk about what I didn't like about it. I just got, I don't know. I think there's, I love the father. I'll tell you what I like about
it. The dynamic's great.
I love the dynamic between Scott, Cassie and Scott. I love it. I love how he's back to very much the MCU level of him, where he's the down of the father trying to recoup everything. But what I don't like about it, this is like a throwback book. Like, for example, like, you saw him getting the whole business together and everything.
Yeah.
And the reason why it flopped is because War of Realms happened.
No, it's flopped because he got arrested.
Right.
He got in trouble for, oh God, what did he do? I forget what he did. It's the trial of Ant-Man.
Where?
Yeah, it's Astonishing Ant-Man Volume 2, I think.
But it's the end, that's how the end of the series, yeah, though.
And then he goes into, they let him out of prison, then he goes to join the Guardians because his life's a wreck.
Right.
And then he, then I know, after I know Infinity that. Countdown, yeah, he yeah, goes I know to the Mortal Realm stuff.
Yeah. But that's my point, like, I'm, the problem that's I have. That's
why I said they shit on him a lot.
Right, that's my, and that's my problem with this book.
Yeah.
I feel like this is, if you like movie Ant-Man, you'll love this book.
Yeah.
But if you follow the history of Scott Lang,
it's,
he was never.
Still pretty good. But he's they make him stupid.
Well, the entire well, because even the history of Scott Lang, he was a criminal, but never like this. He was never like that. Was not what he was known for. He yeah. was never. He stole the Ant-Man. He stole the Ant-Man suit to get his daughter Cassie away from guys that kidnapped her.
Yeah,
that was the story. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was Hank Pym who helped him do it.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like this goes more in line with the movie stuff, and I hate that that's the info. Yeah. Like, because Scott Lang, up until, like, if you read anything from his early days up until Young Avengers, where he's kind of, like, also a side character there, because he died, because he technically, no, Jack Parks died. He died and
came back.
Yeah, he died and came back,
too. And then Cassie died and came back.
Yeah, that's in Children's Crusade.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you this is just, like, the jokey MCU version, and that's why I don't like the book.
I'm like, that's not a bad thing.
I think it's a bad thing. They it needs to do it the other way around. Because
they've always been doing since the 2013 Ant-Man run. They've been making him kind of a joke.
That's my point. Though. Florida, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I'm hating
last, like,
this.
The last 5 years of Ant-Man.
I don't like this run of Ant-Man.
Yeah. This current
this era. Yeah. Because I feel like they're taking the easy way and going, oh, we'll just make it about how funny Paul Rudd is on screen and make him just Ant-Man. That let's make that Ant-Man. But the problem is. Those kids aren't coming in. Ant-Man fans of the movie aren't coming in buying the book.
Yeah.
It's regular comic book fans that probably have known Ant-Man for a while because he was a big part of the 1990s Avengers team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you can't start ignoring things to make your book sell because it's not reflecting in your sales.
Yeah.
It's a cool story. And which again, I love, yeah, and I like I love the
setup is great.
The setup, so I like the Cassie-Scott dynamic. Do I need bug villains because he's a bug bad guy?
I think they're trying to flesh out. Yeah, what we were talking about before. And they're trying to flesh out Ant-Man villains because then maybe in the next movie he'll fight Swarm and then halfway through the movie Swarm will be like, but I'm trying to fight these guys.
Well,
and
I then
these
think,
guys will show up.
Well, that's the thing. Don't do that. How about you just
make. But I'm saying, like, that's a potential idea right. they probably had. Like, what if we make up new villains and then they can fight them?
Right. And that's what I think they're doing is, yes, I think Jim Zubwell. Is making
I thought it was Jim Zub as well. So, yeah, Wells.
making villains for him to fight. But again, the problem is also going back to my problem with the MCU is that you chose to use Scott Lang as Ant-Man, not Hank.
Scott
Pym.
Lang's not a bad choice.
He's not a bad choice.
But like, I think it's easier to put him in there than Hank Pym because Hank Pym's like a wife beater. But whatever.
Well, he's not though. That's the problem. I know he's not. You could have done Scott from the beginning, where you would have built the Yellow Jacket situation. You would have built up the villains that.
Yeah, but then they Ant-Man wouldn't have fought against. Paul Rudd. I think they want.
You don't need
Paul
that
Rudd.
Though.
I know, but I think they did want him.
No, they did that because I forgot who wrote the original Ant-Man movie.
Edgar Wright.
Yeah,
because he wanted Simon Pegg to be Ant-Man.
Right, because they had casted him as using Scott Lang's version.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to make it funny and hip, but like you. But the problem is you lose the story. Because
we still got a lot of it.
Well, because Scott Lang hasn't been Ant-Man really for that long, even in the books. Because when he was Ant-Man, he died. Yeah. And a long time, in between, actually, Eric O'Grady was a longer Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And then Hank Pym came back.
Yeah, and then Scott came back because Hank Pym, like, became Ultron and then flew up into space.
Well, even way before that, Scott had Hank had came back as Ant-Man, but he was, like, Ant-Man and he was a Wasp at one point. Yeah. He was other characters.
That was Janet was dead.
You know, he was other characters, too. He was Giant Man.
Yellow Jacket.
Yes, he was the Yellow Jacket. You know, so I feel like all the story you could have had with Hank, you didn't use, and you're using a character that has he doesn't have enough villains to play with. So now you have to make new ones. But the problem is, in a 5-issue mini, you have to explain all their reasonings for doing everything. It's simply if they make them avatars of those insects.
Yeah,
which is cool. I don't mind that. But yeah, then you have to. Expand it where you explain it in a bigger Marvel universe situation where, like, oh, there's one for spiders and show Spider-Man and the other spider guys. Be like, oh, there's one for, you know, for every animal or every insect animal exists, a totem exists. Going back to the hunted stuff.
Yeah.
You know, tie back there where, like, these are the totems that they were, you know, getting hurt from by killing all these guys. Mm-hmm. And then because of all the animals, the bigger animal ones getting killed, that the insect ones are coming out.
Maybe they'll do that. We don't know yet.
Right. That's my thing. My thing is, like, I feel like they're not going to make it matter, and that's my fear. Yeah. Make the book matter.
I think they are going to make it matter. I think a lot of these miniseries are really pushing the... Because back in the day, in my opinion, not the old stuff, because I know the old stuff mattered more.
Yeah.
The 2000s-ish to 2010, the miniseries were kind of like, here's a story that I
want to
do.
And it was gone. Yeah.
Kind of like what DC's doing now. A lot of the DC minis are kind of just like, here's a story.
Right.
Marvel is actually tying their books into the greater Marvel
events. Like, again, like even the end that we were talking about before with the Venom, like, they didn't have a reference in the whole thing. They just did.
Yeah. Ant-Man, Falcon, Winter Soldier is going to be relevant to the main, like, Captain America line stuff. We had Death's Head that's relevant to, like, the bigger stuff, especially with Empire, potentially, with what's going on with Billy and stuff.
It really just ties ties more to what's going on with Billy, to Billy and Teddy.
But that's Empire,
right, though. It means, it ties into something that, it takes place in the shadow of the MCU. Yeah.
A lot of, and then Ant-Man and Wasp came out a couple, I think 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Where he first teams up with Nadia, it ties into the Nadia
that
stuff.
That should have been a series. Yeah. That should have been a series. Actually, I told you my pitch for an Ant-Man series.
I think so.
I said it on the show, which the show would have been called The Legacy of the Ant-Man, and it would have been Ant-Man, it would have been Scott, Stinger, Nadia,
Wasp.
Yeah, Janet, Giant Man. I'm missing one.
Raz?
That is Giant Man. He's Giant Man.
He's Giant Man now. I've been Michael Foster. No. Goliath.
Goliath, that's the other one thing. And having them as, that would have been an ongoing series with like them, It's like Scott going, I'm opening a business, and it's just them. He's trying to, and like Nadia's like, yeah, I'll help you out. And like Singer's there, and like the building of
Agent of Ants.
Right. Sure. But yeah, some of that. And they're all under Hank Pym's name, and Ultron's the villain through the miniseries.
Yeah.
Or the ongoing series.
That'd be pretty cool. Pitch it out, man.
You know, I feel like this is just, and you don't, you can still have the funny moments, but you don't have to make Scott a joke. I feel like it's just.
It works, but also it hinders.
It diminishes the character. Because, again, it's not me shitting on funny books. I feel like it's the easy road when the character's only, not when you start making the character only known for funny.
Yeah, you made him a punching bag.
Right. I'm like, but he's not. Scott has a lot more to offer. Yeah,
even his daughter is, like, making fun of him, which she never really
did. Right, she never did.
In the original book, she likes that he's a dumb goof.
Yeah.
And, like, she supports him through everything. In this one, she kind of, like, shits on him.
Yeah, she's like...
At the beginning, it's, like, a cool, like, funny partner thing.
Right.
But then once she, like, brings, like, you live in an anthill? Like, dude, you had a daddy-daughter date where you shrank down into a play-sized house and watched a movie on your iPhone.
Right.
You loved that.
Yeah.
You wanted
and
that.
And then literally the
I mean,
next...
understand living in Ant Hill is not really cool. Like, there's no furniture in there.
But that's
but
also...
still, you wouldn't yell at him about
I think
it.
The same thing, I think, where him living in Ant Hill doesn't make sense. He's still...
Oh, yeah, it's kind of dumb.
Still an Avenger.
Yeah. If he has the Avengers card, he should be able to live in the Avengers mansion.
Yeah, if he was like, guys, I can't live... it'd be cool like, that he was crashing
but
on...
But that's the whole down in the luck thing.
Right, like, I get that.
Peter Parker lived with Mockingbird when he was homeless.
Yeah, but yeah, like, he's known in the superhero community, and he has the notoriety. He's not a shithead.
But they make him less like, he gets, like, a small article in the paper, and he's like, come on, this should be big. Why is no one, like, hiring me?
Right, like...
Dude, you were just in space, and you fought a fucking Infinity War.
Yeah, like,
what do you mean?
I don't get it.
And you just punched Frost Giants. All the Avengers should know you're around. You did a secret stealth mission that honestly was a big integral part of the fucking War of the Realms.
Yeah. I don't get it, dude. That's my thing. But so I'm giving... I'm definitely giving it a 3 out of 5.
Oh, you're giving it a 3. I'm giving it... Maybe I'm going to lower it to a 4.5.
Yeah. Because like,
I do
five,
love the book a lot.
But I'm giving it a 3 because it's average. It's nothing... It's like, to me, it's nothing groundbreaking to it. But my negative is that it's such a throwback knockdown on Scott that it's like, cool. I can for this, I can just watch Ant-Man 1 again if I really want to do this again.
Yeah.
The same rodeo over and over again. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can say that about every movie, but I think like different story arcs help that. The problem is this is a miniseries for that we know for now. And again, it's this the same back to rotation. Oh, it's Scott down on his luck. Scott doesn't have to be down on his luck.
Yeah, he doesn't
always because he wasn't always that way. Yeah. For a long time of his career, he wasn't.
And he was an Avenger.
Yeah, and it was a whole building up to
and
being
and they make
that.
Jokes about it, like, being in the Guardians doesn't pay, but, like, and neither does saving the Frost Giants, but, like, Avengers pays, like, a lot of money. I don't know why you don't
They don't pay,
money.
Actually. But,
They have, like, a company card or something, right?
Well, no, they don't. it was the...
No, the Avengers pays. They had a whole joke about it in Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah, the old school, not now. Because they're not...
Not currently, because they're doing, like...
Depends on what
stuff.
Team.
Depends on the era.
But that's the thing. You know, there was a whole... His redemption story arc was from his iteration of him stealing the suit to Hank endorsing him to become an Avenger.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you pretty much threw that all away.
And now they're giving him another redemption arc.
Like, you don't need to be redeemed.
He's proven himself way too many times.
Right. And that's my problem with the book.
Yeah.
That's all of the things.
That's fair. All right. Oh, yeah. Close us out, James.
Close it out. Oops.
Give us a little bit of closure on this episode.
Some sexy closure?
Some. I mean, we'll get sexy closure next week or the week after.
When's Valentine's Day? Next week.
Is it next week?
Yes.
Cool.
I think it's next week. I'm pretty sure next week.
I'm pretty sure it's next week, too.
Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. You can head over to our website, androidscomics.com, to check out this week's previews and new releases. Follow us on Instagram at androids_comics and Twitter at androidscomics for up-to-date news. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. So, and always support your local comic shop. That was my pen falling on my hat. Ignore me. Woo! And have a nice day.
See you later, guys.